I believe they're coming in now.
Hey, what's poppin', everybody? It's the Drew and Mike Show in the DealsInTheD.com studios for Wednesday. And it is that that every other Wednesday with Carl from Who Are These Podcasts with a cornucopia of shows to talk about today. I meant to mention one to Carl yesterday, I forgot, but maybe we can look into it down the road. Steve-O's Wild Ride.
Yeah. That made news the other day. I can't remember
why. Yeah, Tommy Lee told a story about Nikki Sixx putting his balls on Slash's chin after they had some drink off, and Tommy Lee took a picture because, you know, you got to have a picture.
My question when reading that story was, did Tommy Lee think it was as cool today as he did when he...
Okay. He did.
I figured as much.
And I think they all did. And the picture apparently became Slash's all-access pass picture.
That's funny. That was fucking funny. Hilarious.
And they had posters made, too.
Yeah. I think it also made news, too, because Steve-O is really worried about the new Oregon decriminalization of drugs law, because he thinks young people are going to move there and start doing drugs.
You know, I hate it when people, like, do every drug more than anyone on the planet and then want to tell you not to do drugs. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you had your share, Steve-O.
Yeah, I'm surprised there's any left.
Just because you couldn't handle it, and you got addicted as fuck, doesn't mean everyone else will.
He was doing those whippets, right, with those CO2 cartridges and stuff. He was cranking through those things.
Did everyone here see that documentary?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I love it when whippets change people's voices.
I know, he's so weird.
They start talking like this.
He's trying to film his own intervention, and Johnny Knoxville looks so bummed out. It's definitely not Johnny Knoxville's character. You know, he seems so upset about it. But they did get him on the straight and narrow.
Wasn't this guy doing whippets?
Open your eyes!
Duster, okay.
Yeah. That's a really good intervention. One of my favorites.
I said it just like that to Annie, my 2.5-year-old, the other day.
I'm walking on sunshine.
She was doing this, and I just went, open your eyes.
No. I wish I had a father.
No clue. What a dummy. Went right over her head.
So, anyway, I looked up Steve-O's Wild Ride because it's actually gotten national attention a couple times. And it's interesting to me because usually when you get some sort of a nod like that, it's really big for a podcast because it's hard to get national attention.
Is he doing it solo or does he have a host?
I think Steve-O's the host. I think. I got to listen to it. But anyway, I saw that it's not doing all that well, and I was kind of surprised. Would you guys think Steve-O would still have a lot of, you know, people to listen to his podcast?
I can't stand Steve-O. I don't find him funny. I know that he's out of control. He used to be out of control and stapling his balls. He has no appeal to me.
I'm taken aback by that.
I think he's better off as a stuntman because he does stunts that nobody else does. And he's still promoting things somehow. I think a couple months ago he got in trouble for taping himself to a billboard. I'm not sure if you saw that.
I did see that.
That made the news. But
it just goes to show.
Jackass is probably going to come back pretty soon. They're probably going to have another Jackass movie, and that'll sell because it's nostalgic. People remember doing all that crazy shit.
Do you want to listen to Jackass the podcast? It's really boring to me.
But he had do you call it a memoir if Steve-O wrote it? His autobiography?
Yeah.
Where he told stories, and they were good stories.
He has lived really hard. Now, I'm wondering, how old is Steve-O? Like 40-something now, right?
Oh, I would think so.
Early 40s, maybe? Yeah. Can he really do Jackass at that age?
Sure. Yeah. You can go into a shopping cart and get thrown off a curb. Yeah.
I think I'd rather be 20 when I'm doing that.
Yeah.
He's 46.
Does it hold the same appeal if a 46-year-old is doing it?
No. I don't know. Maybe that's a really good question. I don't know.
I wouldn't think so.
I don't think so either. No, if he was like 75, then I'd go, I want to see that fucking old man do that.
There's the problem with that business. You got to do it at a certain age. You got that big gap in between.
Anyway, his show,
in spite of, you know, as Brandon mentioned, he's had a couple pretty good plugs. Is doing not much. I mean, I didn't see it ranked much of anywhere. And the girl that Carl's going to maybe have a couple clips of, reply guys. These two feminist leftist comedians. And this girl, you know, she's on Colbert, which just, Carl, did that appall you the way it appalled me?
Yeah, the reason why this is on my radar is because Kate Willett is a stand-up doing the New York circuit, and she's been on Compound Media, which is Anthony Cumia's network.
How does she survive on Compound Media? Come on.
She got walked off the show. She couldn't take it. She couldn't hang with them.
Who had to walk her off?
So I guess Gino Bisconti was also a guest on the morning show with Bill Schultz. And she was very upset because people were dressing up as Native Americans for Halloween.
Oh, come on.
She thought that was cultural appropriation.
Oh, Jesus Christ. How can she be a comedian? Really?
Right. That's what's so crazy. I think I wrote in the description of the podcast, because we just did the Reply Guys podcast this week on WATP. These woke comedians have this new style of comedy where it's not funny and they don't even try to be. Like, they're not even trying to be funny, and they call themselves comedians. It's great.
Well, the problem is woke really go with comedy.
No, it doesn't make any sense. That's
not
really
subversive.
Utterly
being
bizarre.
Woke is not subversive.
You're taking, what, 70-80% of comedy out of comedy, and it's like comedy light or safe comedy? Whoever wanted comedy to be safe, by the way? And let me say this about her Colbert appearance, because when you guys were talking on Who Are These Podcasts about the fact that she was on Colbert, I was enraged. Why? With all the really good comedians out there busting their balls to be funny, would they choose this unfunny person who really has no credits? And nobody listens to her podcast, by the way. It's not, it's got 1,000 reviews or something. I mean, that's okay, but nothing. I would never dream she would be on Colbert. And I just thought, that is total bullshit. So I watched the set because I'm thinking, well, you know, I sent it to Mark too. I thought maybe I'm just being an asshole and I'm jealous, or I don't know, or maybe I just don't believe she's funny and I should give it a chance. So I watched it, and first of all, Miss Woke Comedian, do you know she shits on guys in every joke?
Yeah.
Like, so it's, in other words, it's okay as long as you don't hurt anyone female, anyone of color, anyone in a minority, but you can shit all over men and make them sound like the biggest dopes. I mean, I'm serious.
No one cares about the whites.
Well, it wasn't just whites, it was men. I mean, I'm sure she would have said white men if she had thought of it. But did you guys see, you watched set, Mark?
Yeah, I thought it was
terrible.
You
kind of go, well, wait, but she's woke and yet she is dumping on this one group of people all the time?
You know what? That never really entered. It was just more about how the jokes, were kind of bland. There wasn't much. I thought the punchlines were a little predictable, too.
Yeah, very predictable. Extremely predictable.
I don't want that. You know, no, who wants that in comedy?
I'm just stunned that she could be booked on
be
a late
more
night.
Funny.
I'm stunned she could be booked on a late night show. It really stunned me. And it made more and more I'm being made to feel that, you know what, I'm just wrong. This is coming. Stop bitching about it. It's just the way it is. Comedians are going to be shitty and woke. And what do you point at?
It makes me feel any better, though, Drew. Honestly, getting booked on a late night show is not as important as it used to be. And of course, you know, we were all watching the Comedy Store documentary and how important it was to be on Johnny Carson. Nobody sees Stephen Colbert in the second hour, you know, the second half of that show. So it's not like she had a lot of eyeballs on that appearance, as you could tell, because her podcast did not get a bump from that.
No, but her podcast is terrible. However, she did have 166,000 views on the, you know, so-and-so on Kate Willett's on Colbert.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of views. I mean, that's a lot of people giving it a shot who apparently didn't bother to go to the podcast.
I want to go look at it and see how many thumbs down it had.
Talking about it, should we play a quick clip from their podcast?
Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
I would love to play this for you. Track number 7, Mark, if you want to get that ready.
Yes.
What they do is they start off the show. They have this terrible theme song that is not well played or written. And then they introduce what the show is all about, which is, you know, the woke feminist comedy podcast. And you would think, using the word comedy, you might want to start the show with some energy, some jokes, something that's going to get people into the show. This is the very first thing that they say on the show.
Tulia, how you been? How's everything going? Oh, just it's just I don't know what to say anymore. I'm really dreading the winter. It's starting to get like, it's starting to get pretty cold here in New York, and it's just making me feel kind of sad.
I'm hooked.
This is from mid-October. I can't wait for the next 4 months of this show where this woman's going through seasonal depression and I got to hear it documented.
Who answers, how are you doing like that either? I mean,
I know. Really?
And whose first topic is the fucking weather?
But this is on a show. It'd be one thing if you were at a coffee a coffee shop. How are you doing? You'd say, I'm doing all right. And then you get into it. They're on a show. And she's like, I'm miserable. Things are bad. Dude, come on. Help me out here.
Yeah, I think you described their show as listening to two assholes in a coffee shop. Yes. Right, talking to each other. Why is it called The Reply Guys? I never understood, like, what's the origin of the name or the meaning of it?
So I had a theory on it, but I guess I was wrong. Someone corrected me on Twitter.
Carl, when you guys talked about that, by the way, I had no earthly idea. And I listened to the podcast. I had no idea why it was called The Reply Guys. None. And I took yours as gospel, but you're saying it was wrong.
Apparently, if you're a chick on Twitter and social media and you post something, there are these guys who will always reply because they're trying to flirt with you or hook up with you. So those are like the reply guys. They're like sips.
Yeah, okay.
Looks so fucking hot.
Oh, yeah, gross.
The other thing about this show that I found amazing is they can't broadcast worth shit. And I've documented this on many podcasts, but this was incredible. I put together a supercut of them hemming and hawing because they can't find what word to say.
It's a little Larry Flint-esque, isn't it? There's a lot of vocal fry in that show too. There's Larry.
I'm amazed at how they drag out
It's something to hear. I mean, honestly, I think it's worth listening to just to hear that there's something happening in the world that'll blow your mind, that people think these people are funny.
Well, listen to whoever's podcast talking about them. Don't try to listen to their show.
And also that one of them get booked on a giant television show.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just really.
Comedians. They're both comedians. I couldn't believe it. Neither of them said anything funny. All they were talking about is how depressed they were over politics, over the weather, everything that's coming out. Like, Jesus.
Well, this is what, you know, I'm going through in my head, and it's really bothering me. That one, who's that woke female comedian that after we saw how poorly...
Oh, Hannah Gadsby.
Okay, yeah. Dave Chappelle's Netflix special had like a 38 from the critics because of... You know, he did some politically incorrect things. I don't remember exactly. Something was just appalling that he did, and people took it out on his score. Hannah Gadsby, and we listened to 10 minutes or so, she had 100.
Yeah.
And it was not funny.
It's a TED Talk. It's not comedy.
But people were laughing. It's like, were those people really laughing? I mean, I really start going,
it's not funny!
Am I in an alternate universe where everything that isn't funny is funny, and stuff I think is funny isn't funny? I mean, it's confusing.
You know,
we were talking about that, and I think it was Gino Bisconti on our show, who, by the way, is the host of In Hot Water on Compound Media, really funny stand-up comedian. He was talking about this transition into clapter instead of laughter. And a lot of these comedians go up and they try to make a point that all the people who agree with their point are just going to have an applause break, and that's not comedy.
No. It's funny.
You saw that when Bill Maher switched to Out of the Studio, how awkward it was for a while, because he's so used to getting that clapter. And then when it's just like a silent room, you're like, oh, these are funny jokes.
That is really strange how that effect, and I've had it with John Oliver a little bit too, and I don't know if it bothered him, but it was weird not hearing that usual response. Let me just do this quickly, and we'll get back to Carl and who are these podcasts, but Zodford and Holly is back in black, and they're glad to be back, offering their incredible Black Friday sales event. It's the best time to take home the remaining 2020 inventory and put $6,000 in your pocket, too. And how about this? 0% financing for 60 months, up to $6,000 cash back in your pocket on most remaining inventory. And, yeah, that's right, $6,000 and 0% financing. So buy gifts, pay bills, or just get the hell out of Dodge. Nobody cares. Just spend it how you want. Plus, during Zodford's Black Friday sales event, you can lease the all-new loaded 2020 Ford Explorer XLT 4x4 while supplies last. as low as $216 a month, and that means that there's not a million of them, so you might want to get on it. And now the one we've been waiting for, the legend is back, the new 2021 Ford Bronco Sport, just over $300 a month. Our friends at Zotford are back with their Black Friday sales event, and you can get all the details and explore their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And Hall Financial is doing refi after refi after refi, and they are so quick that somebody from Vermont who requested, who listens to our show, and they were on our website and they clicked in, and they got back to them within 3 minutes, only to tell them that because they didn't have a license in Vermont, they couldn't do it. But he still was so impressed, he actually sent me an email. So that's how fast they are. 3 minutes to get back. If you click the link on our site and fill out the form, or you can call 248-308-5000, or you can go to davidhallmortgage.com/Drew and Mike. And for the month of November, they will pay for your appraisal up to $500. Now, most people will not need an appraisal, but if you do, they will cover you up to $500, which should cover many appraisals, if not most. And the closing time is down to 10 business days or fewer at Hall Financial. If you're above a 3% loan mortgage, you should give it a shot. 248-308-5000. NMLS number 1467435 for Hall Financial.
They look stupid. I'm just telling you. It's just an appraisal. Keep them if you want. Look stupid. See if I give a fuck.
You do not want that guy appraising your house.
Oh, God, and that green thing.
Oh. They look stupid. I'm just telling you. It's just an appraisal.
How kind of him.
Look stupid. See if I give a fuck.
Look stupid.
And that green thing today was enough.
That's Mel Gibson's best work.
I got to tell you, Carl, I was on a Who Are These Podcasts binge because there's just so many weird things going on. Did you want to get into Nancy Grace first? Because I'm excited. I really haven't heard her podcast. I used to like Nancy Grace back in the day, but I'm open to hating her. So,
all right. Well, I decided to check out Crime Stories with Nancy Grace because, you know, you're a big true crime guy. You know, true crimes.
Amen.
I thought we should probably talk about this genre a little bit.
I love the genre.
All right. So I checked out Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. If you play track one, now a lot of times I make fun of podcasts that tease things that are coming up, but this is masterfully done. This show is very well produced, and Nancy Grace does a great job here.
How can a beautiful, brilliant 27-year-old woman die of 20 stab wounds and it's a suicide? I'm not buying it, and her parents agree.
Drew Scott from Property Brothers here. You may not know this.
What? That's awkward. A whole bad advertisements after that. That's all the content you get, and then it's all ads, which I give her credit for because unlike some of these other shows, it just start with ad beds, and you just fast forward through it. At least she gives you a little tease there.
It's a good tease.
Carl, what is it with podcasts? Because I was listening to, I'm pretty sure it was Bert Kreischer. Does his wife ever turn up on the show with him? Bert
might, maybe. I don't know. I haven't heard that.
Maybe it wasn't Bert. But anyway, the point was, he was doing the longest commercials. I mean, it'd be like 2.5 minutes for a commercial between him and putzing around. And maybe it wasn't Bert. But
was it ML?
No, it wasn't ML. Okay. He did like 6 commercials covering about 16 or 17 minutes. And I just thought, what advertiser is getting listened to here? Who isn't fast-forwarding through the whole lump? Because it's 17 minutes of commercials right at the beginning.
You know who started that trend, in my opinion, is Joe Rogan. And Joe Rogan will go on and read all of his ads, and then there's not another ad read until the very, very end of the show. So you have 3 hours of interview uninterrupted, and you have 10-minute ad bed. And every time I listen to Joe Rogan, I just go 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds. Oh, there we are. All right. Interview started.
Well, that's
never hear an ad on there.
That's great for Joe Rogan, but it's not good for the advertisers. I'm surprised Joe doesn't want to break sometime during the 3 hours. I mean, he just goes straight through, right?
Yeah, and I think that other podcasters picked up on that. Sam Tripoli, for the longest time, I didn't get into his podcast because I tried to listen to it, and it was all ads, and I never got to the 12-minute mark when he actually starts his show. And it wasn't until I was forced to listen to it for WATP that I was like, oh, the show's pretty good. I would have no idea because it was all ads every time I listened to it.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem there's a lot of – I mean, our advertisers, we would die without them. I just couldn't do that to them. And I hear this trend, and it's just like, get them all out of the way up front. And I understand how that works. I've been a perpetrator of that a time or two in my career. But, you know, now – I'm so directly linked with the advertisers that I have to. I mean, it's really oh,
we
hitting
like
home.
Them all too.
We like them. They're very important to us.
But I'm dying to know, was it suicide or stab wounds?
I got tracked.
The tease worked.
Yeah, the where are we going with this?
The tease worked.
Okay, so let me set this up real quick. Basically, what happened was there's a 27-year-old woman. She lives in an apartment with her fiance. The fiance leaves to go to the gym that's inside the apartment complex. He's gone for 50 minutes. He comes back. The door is closed. It's locked. He has to break in, and he finds his fiance dead, stabbed herself 20 times, and they declare it was a suicide. Now, what Nancy Grace can't figure out is how it's possible someone could kill themselves within 50 minutes. And she goes, can you believe it? Within 50 minutes, she was able to kill herself and lock the door. And I'm thinking, that's not really the story here. He asks the father, isn't that crazy that happened in 50 minutes? And he quickly says, that's not really the big deal, track two.
I would agree. And I would also point out the distribution of the wounds were 10 on or from the front and 10 from the back. And some were upward on the back, which makes it even more ridiculous.
I think that's more prescient, I would say, than what Nancy's talking about.
Yeah, the timeline.
50 minutes. You can kill yourself in 50 minutes. Trust me.
Oh, that, easy.
Sure.
Easily.
So,
boom!
He says, now, remember, this is his daughter who was obviously murdered. It obviously wasn't a suicide. And he says this to Nancy Grace. Nancy Grace makes him repeat it, but even prefaces it with saying how difficult it is for this guy to have to talk about this, track three.
Wait a minute. Let me get Mr. Greenberg. This is Ellen's father. And you know how painful this is for them to discuss their daughter's injuries. Mr. Greenberg, would you please repeat what you just said about the injuries to the back?
What a sadistic fuck. Nancy, can you sum it up for us? Why are you making him go through this again?
Yeah, she wants him to cry this time. This time with more emotion.
And this is the thing that I get upset about with true crime hosts, a lot of them, is that they're just exploiting victims.
Oh, sure.
They're exploiting victims so that they can sell advertising, and the worst type of advertising, track four.
You know, guys, over the years, we have reported on countless home invasions, burglaries, assaults, all happening in the home.
You got to get yourself equipped.
If only they'd had a home security system. Now, I'm thrilled to tell you about Simply Safe. I've got a home security system. My mom has
security
a home security
bridge.
System. I really think everyone should have one.
I wouldn't even be doing the show if everybody had a security system.
Mark, are you afraid? Drew, are you afraid? Oh, Brad Dodd's got his dinner.
Shit.
Let's take a break.
You know, that's so cliche. It just, you know, they buy it, they sell it, so what are you going to do, turn the advertising down?
Hold on. I want to point something out, though, Drew, is that not only is she selling Simply Safe, she mentions in there, I have one, my mom has one. She's planting the seed that, don't just buy one Simply Safe. Buy them for everyone you love. Because she has this captive audience who are afraid of everything. They don't leave the house. They're afraid they're going to be murdered. They watch true crime all the time. And so they're like, oh, we can totally take advantage of these people. Buy as many Simply Safes as you can.
That's pretty brilliant.
I do understand the fear if you listen to enough of that stuff. But, you know, as far as true crime, generally speaking, and I've watched the genre for a long time, I've been fascinated by all those 2020s, all those datelines, all those 48 hours. Generally speaking, I find the stories to be great stories, and I'm always intrigued, and I always want them to get the bad guy, and when they do, I'm really happy, and I don't feel guilty about it. But, you know, when you start listening to true crime podcasts, and you realize that you can, like, listen to them for day after day for hours and hours and hours, there's a little quandary sometimes about, boy, am I listening, am I watching too many true crime things?
Yes.
And the exploitation part, I do hear it in some cases where it does seem some of these hosts are really trying to drive a narrative, a story, just make something to create a podcast people listen to, a series, and they might even throw doubt into a verdict. There's a big case, we talked about it, I think, where the podcast hosts are trying to say that this person should be let free, and it's really very bogus. Very bogus. Well, almost like the big Netflix one.
I was going to say, well, it all started with Serial. Which I've always thought the whole Adnan Syed thing was bullshit.
What was the big one on
Making a Murderer?
Making a Murderer.
Another
which
one
was
bullshit.
Totally bullshit.
Except Brandon likes Avery. So.
Yeah, get a room, Brandon. Jeez.
Loves him.
He's
after
such
I watched it for the first time, I thought, hey, maybe, because they didn't really like, I didn't understand that whole point where the cop couldn't find the keys, then he found the keys, so I thought it was planted. Over time, I've come around, and I believe he's a murderer.
For me, it begins and ends with, okay, we all agree that prosecutor was a total dope and an asshole. Yep. And yet these two guys were like the greatest defense attorneys in all of Wisconsin. Yet they couldn't beat that guy. So the evidence Ken that we're Kratz. Not seeing must have been pretty overwhelming.
Well, I did read about his life behind bars where he has quite a collection of nude photos of women that he... On, I mean, any woman that contacts him, he demands nude photos immediately or there's no further conversation.
Hey.
And then his girlfriend, who was his fiance, I believe, she busted him, with a collection of like 40 nudes from different chicks. And I guess that was a pretty huge argument. I think they broke up over it. But he just doesn't sound like a really good guy.
He's a murderer.
He is.
Sorry. Where were we, Carl?
You get busted with naked photos of girls you know. Just say you're really good at Photoshop. That would be my out of that one.
Except he's in prison.
You're all porn stars. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's one way to go. Any more Nancy Grace?
Yeah, so the last thing on Nancy Grace that I'll say is that this story is pretty cut and dry. Obviously, she didn't kill herself. You don't stab yourself 20 times. And they have all of these people on this panel. Now, I think this is repurposed from TV. I don't think this is just a podcast. Hmm. But they have the mother and the father on. They have a former assistant district attorney. They have a psychiatrist. The private investigator, professor of forensics, they have a local reporter, and all these people are saying the exact same thing over and over again. She must not have committed suicide. There's no way that could have happened. Obviously, it's just to fill time so they can sell advertising, but I thought this one clip was funny, track 5.
If your listeners, who are so bright,
nope.
You know, we've got so many listeners out there that are really tuned in.
Wrong. Now, Nancy Grace listeners are not that smart. On the average, I understand, Drew, you're a very smart guy. You enjoy her. But they're not smart on the average.
I bring the curve up a little bit.
You know I know that?
How do you know that?
It's mostly women. That's all I got on
that. I got to tell you, that story just to me sounds like, what's the quandary there? Of course she didn't kill herself. Nobody stabs himself in the back 8 times.
Who done it?
I'm trying to find, is that a real story?
It is a real story. On the death certificate, they have suicide. So they're trying to get that changed. The family is.
Is this Ellen Greenberg? Yeah.
It feels like, it just feels like it shouldn't even take a Nancy Grace show to get it changed.
You would think.
Well, I would think Nancy would be above such an easy story.
Yeah, she really phoned that one in. Now, Carl, you were on Bubba the Love Sponge, who continues to do radio. I guess this is maybe your last Jocktober show. And yep. I know the shows you do on big radio shows generally do very well. Was this a big show for you?
It was, because we got his former co-host, Manson, who also played Ned on his show for all those years. So he was like the right-hand man for Bubba. And they just recently had a falling out. Like in the last year, he stopped working with them. And my co-host, Doug, from the Who's Right podcast, calls me up a half an hour before we're about to record and says, I think I can get Manson on the show with us today. Do you have Skype? Do you have, you know, I'm like, yeah, let's do it. The only way to do it was with a phone call. I had to get his phone number. We'd already started the show. All of a sudden we get his phone number. We call him up and lo and behold, we're talking to the guy who sat next to Bubba for 23 years while goofing on Bubba's current show. And even better than that, Brent Hatley used to be on the Bubba show back when they were on Sirius. And here I have the guy who used to sit next to Brent Hatley as we goof on Brent Hatley's latest show. Well, that worked out very well for us.
It was really interesting because you've got three guys and a couple others who really combined to create a huge successful show for Tampa and then for Sirius. And it seems that when you separate these guys, now granted, Brent Hatley did very well with Howard. And, you know, I don't really know what Manson is doing on his own or, you know, whatever he's doing. But Bubba just seems absolutely lost. And it seems so obvious to me that this was a great chemistry that really worked for a long time. And once the chemistry is imploded and these people are missing, Bubba just doesn't have much to offer.
Yeah, it's very obvious that Bubba needs to be surrounded by talent or else the show is tough to listen to. I decided to listen to an episode just from yesterday just to see if this is normally the case, that the show is as bad as the one that I documented on Who Are These Podcasts a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play you the very first segment. Now, what happens is Bubba is a little bit late coming into the studio because he was taking a leak and he didn't get into the studio on time, and that never happens to him. So this is what they recommend, and hilarity ensues. My track 11.
Well, you should skip school. You should go tinkle outside.
Exactly.
More often. Or you know,
last time I tinkled outside, I pissed on. I urinated on Anna's
on Gus
on Anna's car.
That's right.
I do that every day.
What?
How old is Anna this guy?
Is the female on the show? You know, what's known as typically the whole. You have to have that one woman on there that keeps everybody on track. And so
I hate that. First of all, the name is not terribly flattering. but secondly, is that an Opie and Anthony-ism? Where'd that term come from? Yes. Okay. Anyway, secondly, I hate this idea, and it got so cliche that, we got these two guys, and they cross the line all the time, but thankfully there's a woman who reels them in, and she's the hero.
Yeah, very cliche.
But in this case, I don't know what this person does. I wasn't real impressed with what I heard on his podcast, but...
I'm appalled at the word usage of the word tinkle.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Just childish.
That made the whole thing awkward for me.
The reason why I played that clip, it seems pretty innocuous, but they have to keep running with this. And this is how you know the show is not very good. When you have guys who take a premise like this, I'll go pee on our co-host's car outside. And you guys would be like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
All right, go ahead. Whatever.
And run with it. And this is track 12.
You pee on Anna's car every day?
Every time I go outside, I pee on her car.
No, you don't.
Do you really?
Where do you? I always just pee on the front tire.
Yeah, I usually do the tire too, but still, it makes me smile.
Hear all the fake laughter that's going on.
Good
that's
Lord.
And they don't. They don't pee on her car every day.
No, it wouldn't be funny if they did. And there's nothing about that. It's amusing.
And does she really care anyway?
Like she's laughing really hard.
Don't pee on my car. Like, it gets wet all the time. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, it's a car. It's outside. Whatever.
So I document a lot of podcasters, especially younger kids who are podcasting, and they're trying to make poop humor and make little jokes about peeing and things like that. And it's always embarrassing and cringeworthy. This is Bubba the Love Sponge.
Yeah.
He used to be on Sirius. It was a national show. He's a household name. And listen to how they wrap up this little bit on track 13.
It's funny because I usually see a pile of urine next to one of the other wheels too. So I'm not the only guy doing it.
How many people pee on?
Everybody does.
How many people pee on Anna's rotors?
I've pooped on it a couple times, but I've never peed on it. That's disrespectful.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Well,
how stupid.
You know, this is. Far be it from me to say that you know, farts can't work for a show, or that this sort of humor can't be effective. But if it's not funny, it's the worst. It's just horrible. I mean, and in the end, that's really the justification for anything. And if you're going to cross the line or push the envelope, at least be fucking funny.
Yeah, that was just gratuitous.
And while you're on that, Brent Hatley. Is it Brent Hatley?
Yes, Brent Hatley.
He produced Bubba. He produced Howard Stern. He's, you know, been on two gigantic shows. I don't know if anybody's ever been on two bigger shows. I don't know if you could find that person. But anyway, he leaves the Howard Stern show to where he really became best known for swinging with his wife, Caitlin.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, as amusing as Howard made it, and Howard's so good at that, I mean, of taking something really small from somebody in his show and turning it into, you know, 40 minutes. And the best example I can think of is when Jackie Martling, when he was on the show, and this is one of the first times I heard Howard, he had given Howard and his wife a baby shower gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess his wife had a baby shower, and Jackie's wife had gone, and it became known that the gift price tag was left on the gift, and it was like $9.95, and Jackie was notoriously cheap. And I mean, this thing went on and on, and it was really fucking funny. To me, because it's just such a small thing, and it is stupid. Well,
plus, it's real.
Yeah, and it's real, and it was great.
Yeah.
But as far as somebody 50 years old swinging with their wife who just got new tubes, you know, brand new big tits, but is otherwise pretty unremarkable looking, and constantly talking about how hot she is and how she wants to fuck everybody, and he wants to watch, and
they're too big, and they look stupid. They look like some Vegas bitch. They look like a Vegas
just an appraisal.
Whore.
I don't want to hear. I really don't want to hear about it. But that's why he left the Howard Stern show. He and his wife could do a show and talk about how hot she is all the time, and she's not that hot. And I don't want to hear about them screwing or screwing other people. I just don't.
And the reason why it worked on the Howard Stern show is because you had a guy who was pushing against that. So Shuley would come into the studio when Brent was talking about him and his wife, how hot they were and how they're banging all these people. And Shuley would be like, I think he's lying. This is bullshit. These guys aren't even swingers. This is all an act. You get them all fired up. And that was the fun part of the show. That's how Howard made it a fun segment. Brent Haley goes out with his wife to do a Twitch show.
Yeah.
A Twitch show. And all they do is talk about swinging and how hot she is. There's no way they're going, you're full of shit. This is nonsense. You guys are lying. And it makes it not fun anymore. Yeah. Now we're not listening to two people talking about how hot they are. And so we can see them.
If there's no shame, does a bit like that work? I mean, there's got to be some shame of some sort.
But there's nothing else in this show, though. As far as I know, that's all they talk about. Do they talk about anything else?
They talk about partying. They talk about swinging. They talk about smoking weed.
Like, but he's 50 years old, and she's what? Is she 40 or something like that, or 45?
But do they ever pee on anyone's car? I mean, that's really the big question, right?
I haven't listened to the whole back catalog, so I'm not sure. Yeah,
I wouldn't do that.
That show, you would think going from the Howard Stern show, which has a few million listeners every day, that you would be able to get some support, that something would come of it. Did he make any money on Twitch? Do you know, or is he still doing it?
I asked Manson that exact question because Manson also has a show on Twitch, and they talked about collaborating at one point before Brent Haley started his show. Manson was actually very interesting. He had some insights. He actually had meetings with Brent about reuniting and doing a show. But I asked him if he thought he was making any money. It's hard to tell because from what I've heard, when they're doing their show live, you can see there's about 40 to 50 people watching it.
But 40 to 50?
There's like a couple thousand views on the video. So some people think that he's somehow gaining the system. I'm not sure if that's true or not.
Now, how do you know how Manson's podcast does, by the way? Is that the next one you're going to do?
I don't know. I don't want to keep paying for these Twitch subscriptions. That's the problem. You can't just listen to these shows or watch these shows.
Because I was curious because I remember I have heard that show here and there, and I always thought there were great parodies on that show. And he did all those parodies, didn't he?
Yeah, for sure. He's great.
I wasn't sure, could he be a host? Could he host his own show? I don't know. It's really funny how chemistry works, how it can be so fantastic that you want to listen to 4 hours every day or a couple hours or your hour driving to work or whatever it is you do. And then you take away one little piece and another piece, and all of a sudden it's like, this is a total disaster. This doesn't work, or this guy can't host. And I mean, how many stories are there of the guy who is the third guy or the producer or whatever, and I'm doing my own thing because I've been watching all this time. I know the secret sauce, and I'm going to do it. And then it doesn't work because they're not a host.
Now's not the time to discuss
your plans.
My new show, my new show.
Well, I think the best example that through is Artie Lang going off and doing his own show. Artie Lang was bigger than Howard Stern on the Howard Stern show. There were more people who were fans of Artie than Howard when he was in his peak. Because he was so funny, he was just the best second chair in radio for years when they were on terrestrial, and then they switched over to satellite, just hysterical. Now, obviously, he had his drug problems, he came back, he had a show. He's done all right with it, but it's never gotten to the point where it would have been if it was, paired up with someone like a Howard Stern. Well, he was on with Nick DiPaolo for a while.
That was a great show. I loved DiPaolo with him, yeah.
Now, what's interesting is that Artie just finally resurfaced, the first time we've heard from him since February.
What?
He was on the Nick DiPaolo show on Thursday.
Oh, he makes
does he make more comebacks than anyone in any field anywhere? I mean, seriously. He was with Anthony Cumia for a while. Yeah. He was Artie Quitter. He was with DiPaolo, and now he turns up again. And how did he sound?
He sounds great. Basically, what he said was he's been living with his mom, doing the programs, staying sober, claims to be 2 years sober. We've heard that before, but he sounds like he's doing really well. And he's actually going to start his show up again, Artie Lang's Halfway House. Nick DiPaolo's got a brand new platform because he's tired of getting censored on YouTube. So they're putting out a brand new video platform, and Artie's going to have a show on that platform. So that was good to hear that he's coming back.
Does that show need to be video?
Artie's show? No. None of these shows need to be video.
I don't know why. Why couldn't they just do a podcast on 75 platforms and...
We want to see Artie's nose, though.
I guess. Yeah.
Well, tease it. Yeah, tease his nose.
Oh, boy.
Your new nose looks great.
Do we believe that Artie's really been working the program, quote unquote? Because he seems like a guy who, when he is straight, he can't stay away. He has to book gigs immediately. And for him to be missing in action that long, I just was so suspicious. And I'm sorry, because I'm really rooting for the guy. I like Artie.
I know. I have no reason to think that he's actually been sober, because he said this every time, and every time he's lying. For some reason, I think he might be on the straight and narrow, because he's just been living with his mom, and I don't think his mom would let him get away with that. He seems like he's really trying this time. He sounded great. Now, it was a short segment. Who knows? I could be wrong. He sounded great. I think he's doing okay.
Can we have a forensic account find out if he is indeed living with his mom? Because I would buy that. I think I would. But, you know, his show, it's funny when you read about other shows from afar and you're not listening. And, you know, all these people talking about the old Artie Quitter show, which we had him on, and he was great. He gave us a great interview. We had a ball with him. But he said at the time that, you know, and I think he might have told us this off the air, and maybe it was even on the air. He said, I got like 10,000 people. They pay $7 a month, and we have a couple advertisers, and basically we're hauling in $1 million for doing a podcast, and it's great. And the one thing that I was grappling with at the time was, do I want to just charge people and have this tiny niche audience that pays you well, but you can't grow and you can't ever have a big show? I mean, 10,000 people is your universe? It just seemed awful to me. But again, he was making money, so he was happy. But I don't know, the whole thing was very strange. And it seems strange to me, too, that Anthony Cumia, who's a really talented guy, that you have to pay to hear him. I would think those guys would want an audience, a large audience.
Yeah, you got to admit, though, Anthony Cumia, coming from those contracts that he had with Sirius, making $2 million a year, it would be tough for him to start off at nothing, try to get advertisers, try to build it up. Now, Opie tried that and has failed miserably. He's now making zero. Yeah. And Anthony Cumia continues to do very well with Compound Media. So I agree with you. I'd rather have a larger audience and put it out for free. But for Anthony, that seems to be working for him.
I guess my feeling is that I would think Anthony could probably survive the building period. And plus, when you start building a show, it's, you know, it's like a rash with the internet now. You know, this guy hears it, he tells this guy, that guy hears it, that guy, you know, shares it with this group, and when, you know, boom, next thing you know, a guy like Anthony could have a few hundred thousand listeners.
Well, it does seem like Stuttering John's really unlocked the key. Is it what? You don't think he's making a lot of money there?
Oh, you know, this story just is endlessly amusing. I should not be caring about Stuttering John, because he has, last we knew, Patreon says how many people are participating, correct?
Yeah. You could show that, or you could choose to hide it.
And normally people show it.
Wait. Does Artie choose to hide it, or does he show it?
Talk about Stuttering John?
Or Stuttering John, I'm sorry, yeah.
He used to show it. It got up to 19 people subscribed to him, and then he hid it. And I was watching it very closely a few times a week, and it went from 7 to 9 to 12. I was just watching just a few people at a time signing up. And I'm not going to be braggadocious here, but we get at least 5, 6, 7 people a day signing up.
Spread out.
It took him weeks to get up to 19. And he's got a name. It's Stuttering fucking John, for Christ's sake.
I know. He's been on the Howard Stern show, and then he was on The Tonight Show, a national show, which I didn't really understand this, but you guys were explaining that Jay Leno wanted him so he could maybe reach that edgy Stern audience, which was a huge audience. I mean, I understand the philosophy, because in the back of my mind, I'm going, why would The Tonight Show hire Stuttering John and pay him a nice chunk of money? It just seems so crazy to me. But, I mean, he's got to be the luckiest, least talented person who had the most success with a tiny amount of talent than any. I mean, I don't know what the equation is there, but he's number one.
Artie says, he's the reason why we fought the Revolutionary War. This is the perfect example of what America could do for people. You could have no talent, and you could get record contracts. This guy has put out 2 records on a major label. He's had a movie, a National Lampoon's movie. He was an announcer. He's a stuttering buffoon, and he was the announcer for The Tonight Show. He's the biggest radio show in the world. This guy has no talent, and it's being proven now, and his career is amazing.
But yet, he didn't save any money, did he?
No. I mean,
it sounds like he's just blown through. He doesn't seem very self-aware either.
Mark, he may be the least self-aware person alive. But he from what I hear, I don't know, this may be too inside. If we have to edit this, you tell me, Carl. Were there not some emails going back and forth between he and his audience asking to help him pay his child support, things of that nature?
I happen to know for a fact, and this just happened this past Tuesday. I come home Tuesday night, and my email, I have this woman, Heather W., reaching out to me. Now, Heather W., for anyone who watches Stuttering John's show, you know who she is. She's always in the chat. She's giving super chats.
Okay, Carl,
what talking
can
about.
I stop you for a second, Carl?
Yeah.
Did you say for anybody who watches Stuttering John?
All, I mean, all five of you?
Is there really any chance that one of those people is listening to this today or tomorrow or the next day?
I'm explaining who she is. That's why I'm explaining it.
That was definitely a message for radio for one or two or three, maybe. Maybe.
That's why I'm explaining that Heather W. is well known to people who might be paying attention to Stuttering John. Now, people who listen to our show do because they're trolling him, not because they enjoy his show.
Yeah.
So I do know that people know who Heather W. is from that. So anyway, I get a note from her saying, I'm done with this guy. I want to come on your show and tell you everything. I was like, wow,
ooh,
that's awesome.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was really excited. I had an hour-long conversation with her last Wednesday. And then this past weekend, we had her on the show. And she revealed that, yes, John is hitting her up for money for child support, for money for his mortgage.
Oh, Jesus.
He's definitely flat broke at this time. We know that for a fact.
Can I know, does Heather have a lot of money? Is she someone who's good to hit up?
Yes. She's donated thousands of dollars to John.
What?
Thousands of dollars.
Every time I put on Stuttering John's YouTube thing, his house looks wonderful. I mean, it's huge. He had a nice four-post bed in the last one. Yeah,
there might be some cockroach problems, but other than that.
You know what? That's funny because we joke about that green screen and everything he puts behind him. The last one, I think it might have been the one with Heather on, the one that where he had Anthony Scaramucci on, which just, I fucking don't understand
that. I know. But he's too available if he's on Stuttering John.
But if you ever get a chance to watch it, and it's on YouTube. In the bottom, like, right corner, you can see where there's a problem with the green screen because his house is, like, flickering. It's like, why is your couch flickering? It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, by the way, guess who bought that green screen? Heather W. bought his green screen, bought his microphone, bought his MacBook Pro that he's using.
Heather W. needs to check out our show. It's the
we need Heather
show.
W.
She can get it on iTunes.
Great point, Brian. We need her over here.
So John doesn't do anything else for income?
Mark, let's talk about his Patreon. I happen to have some clips from the video where he introduces what you'll get if you sign up for the Stuttering John Patreon. There's three different tiers: $5 a month, $10 a month, and $20 a month. Let's find out what you get at the $5 tier.
This is really awesome. I'm excited to reach out to all my fans. Friends, family. All you got to do is if you pay $5, then you get access to any videos that I do, any episodes of Beer on the Balcony. You get a shout out from me, and you also get a question answer.
For $5 a month.
I want to point out on this clip. First off, he says this is a tier for fans, friends, and family. You're making your friends and family pay you money
for a shout out.
Shout out.
Happy birthday, Mom. Thanks for the $5.
What's Beer on the Balcony?
So Beer on the Balcony is the show he does. It's a little bit later on in the evening. And by the way, according to Heather, in the conversation I had with her, John is blackout drunk by about 5 o'clock his time every single day. He's a raging alcoholic. So he goes out on this balcony.
Allegedly.
According to one person. Yeah. And he starts drinking Coors Lights out on his balcony and does a show. He most recently had Opie on his show as the guest.
Oh, what?
Yes.
Opie?
I was so excited. It was like the Super Bowl for WSBT. The best part is, Drew, is that Beer on the Balcony is supposed to be for his patron subscribers only. So how many people could possibly be watching this? 10? 15 at most?
Well, that's why he's selling access to it, because nobody's watching it.
Well, John doesn't know how to make a YouTube video private. He only knows how to make them public. So even though it's for his Patreon, I was able to watch it. We were all able to watch it.
Oh, boy.
Well, I'm dying to know what you get for $10.
Oh, yeah.
Can I play that one?
Yeah.
All right.
For the $10 a month, you get a shout out, a question, and a personal phone call from me.
Oh, so for basically $5 more, you get a phone call.
which, personal phone call from John.
How many important questions can he answer, by the way?
None. But I have a feeling you would get that phone call, and it would probably go on way longer than you'd want it to. Next thing you know, it's like,
John, I gotta go, I gotta think.
Next thing you know, you're trying to get off the line with them.
Like, yeah, you pay the $10, you're like, you know, just skip the phone call.
Yeah, I'll upgrade to the $20 level if we can just hang up now, John.
Could you imagine being desperate for a shout-out? He has no listeners. Who would give a shit if he says your name or not?
19 people on Patreon.
What? PRL. I couldn't hear that last part. The connection just got really bad. Thanks a lot, though.
Carl, okay. Have you ever thought of paying for the $10 one for a month and getting that phone call and putting it on the show?
Well, I have thought about this next thing you get at the $20 tier.
Oh, I'm glad
I
asked.
This is exciting.
And then for the $20, you get everything. You get a shout out from me, a question answer.
I'll live with you for a month.
You get a private phone call from me, a Zoom meeting.
What?
With me, you, and four of your friends. And if you stay for 3 months, a signed T-shirt. The Stuttering John podcast.
3 months.
All right. This is the best part.
There's a lot to unpack in that
Zoom
one.
Zoom call with you and four of your friends. Do you guys know four friends who want to talk to Stuttering John?
No.
I sure as shit do not.
It'd God, be no. so awkward.
Well, it'd be weird when you show up with just one friend, too. Like, hey, where are your other three friends? Because he would say that.
Yeah.
He definitely would. What if I wanted to get here?
I'll wait around. I got nothing to do.
I want a T-shirt.
Yeah, you're begging people to show up on the Zoom. It'll only take 10 minutes. I promise. Most.
Can we talk about how dumb a signed T-shirt is? What do you do with a T-shirt? You wear it and wash it, right? Why would you want it signed?
I've never understood that.
Unless
but
you want to frame it,
if you want,
suppose,
if you want to display it or hang it up somewhere,
who wants
I guess.
To display that?
That's what posters are for.
Yeah, or jerseys.
Or 8x10s or something. Wow, this is just so bizarre. Carl, why did Heather reach out to you?
Because she got fed up with John. She finally had enough. They actually had a personal relationship going.
What? You mean like a personal relationship?
They were talking about hooking up.
Oh, okay.
She lives in Houston. He lives in L.A. He was going to fly to Houston.
And move in.
With his equipment.
Yeah. Well, technically her equipment.
Oh, boy.
So she got fed up, and she decided that she was just going to air all this dirty laundry, which I'm like, yep, let's do it. Sounds good. So I'm all ready to upload the episode with the phone interview, and I'm all excited. And she calls me up Sunday morning when I'm editing the show, and she says, John's threatening me. He's threatening me with legal action, but also with violence. There's these guys out there called the Melenders, which are his fans, a.k.a. goons.
What?
Threatening her. Dude, it's don't even get me started.
There's a group called the Melenders who are Stuttering John goons?
I think there's like one guy named Sal D, but John refers to them as the Melenders.
I think that's the $50 tier of his Patreon. You get to be one of the Melenders and go and rough people
this
up for John.
This is just too bizarre.
That's the best part. You just reminded me. The other thing, so
there's more.
Heather was sending me, there's a lot more. Heather was sending me all of these screen grabs of DMs and text conversations she was having with John. Yeah. And one of the things that John does is if somebody says something bad about him on the internet, he asks his fans to troll them. There was a note to Heather asking Heather to troll Chrissy Mayer and asking Heather to troll Mitch Fatale because they were goofing on Stuttering John.
Oh, what a lowlife.
God.
What a fucking loser.
Is Heather hot, by the way?
No comment.
Okay. I won't carry that any further. I wonder, was he jerking her along?
There's John, though. I just want to say that. I don't know if she is or not, but John's not.
Oh, yeah, John is definitely taking full advantage of her.
Yeah, so he was
nonstop begging for money.
He's implying that he's going to pursue a relationship with her so he could extract more money from her. Is that what it sounds like?
Obviously. That's what it sounds like to me. And from the conversations that I saw going back and forth between the two of them, that's what it seemed like to me.
Oh, it's I want to see these conversations.
Isn't that fraud? I feel like Stuttering John could be catfished by somebody.
Yes.
Well, right before I came on the show, John, so what I ended up doing was I took that phone interview and I put it on our Patreon. So now it's behind a paywall. If anybody wants to hear that, you can hear it in its complete form.
Can I get a signed T-shirt, too, if I do it?
Can I get a signed T-shirt from me?
Wait, the conversation with Heather is behind the paywall?
Yes, I uploaded this to our Patreon.
Wait, why did you you took it out first? Why did you decide to put it back in?
So the reason why I did that is because as long as it's behind a paywall, John's not going to want to bring any attention to it. So if it was out there on the web and it was going viral and everyone was talking about it, then John would have to address it. But I was trying to protect Heather by saying, all right, I'll put it behind my paywall. There's no way John is going to want to say, hey, you can hear this conversation.
Her blood could be on your hands.
Well, right.
The Melenders get a hold of this.
It's interesting because right before I came on the show tonight, I was getting notices from Heather, who was talking to John's moderator, who was saying, and I was getting confusing, but John's moderator was saying that John is debating whether or not to sue me for posting that on our Patreon. So apparently I have a lawsuit with Senator John coming up soon.
Well, his lawsuit continues with Howard Stern for those old, old bits which air on Howard 101, which is the History of Howard channel, which is all the old, old stuff.
Fuckface.
First of all, John is rarely featured on any of those. I've only heard him once. I mean, and I've listened to Howard's 101 channel for 5 or 6 years. I've rarely ever heard Stuttering John. He's suing for a share of the revenues, I guess.
Right. And they're
and that's trying- real lawsuit. It's really going on.
Yes. And it's not against Howard. It's against SiriusXM. But they're trying to say that there are real damages happening to Stuttering John because they're using that without his permission, in which they have not been able to determine what those damages are. They have not formulated what that it means that stuttering, that's hurting Stuttering John. There's nothing. It's only helping him.
You know, this is interesting. I could see a lawyer picking up that case just for the chance to sue Howard and to sue Sirius. And no offense to you, Carl, but what lawyer would pick up the lawsuit just to sue Carl and WATP?
I've done nothing wrong. All we did was have...
No, but I mean, what is...
But you have to pay a lawyer.
What
no one
damages
is going to do that.
Is he going to get millions of dollars out of you?
What lawyer's going to do that pro bono? I mean, none of them.
I do make more money on Patreon than he does. Maybe he's looking at that. No, no, that'd be sweet.
I really think you should get the $20 Patreon and do a Zoom with him and put it out there.
I don't think he'd go through with that. The guy's too thin-skinned. He would never talk to me.
Yeah, but
one-on-one.
But you win. You win either way, then.
That's true.
Unless you get a signed T-shirt.
Listeners have actually said that they will subscribe to that and then bring me on the Zoom call. Yeah, and I'm all for it. It'd be great, but I don't think
it's T-shirt time.
Bring you on the Zoom call.
Maybe we should do it.
Well, that's a thought. There's one thing about this story that, I want to just make a note here. This is radio for one. Carl, can you please send me what you've updated and put the call on there so I can hear it?
Yes.
Just join his Patreon. Drew won't join your Patreon because that would include like going on a computer and
paywalls are too complicated for me.
It takes at least 5 minutes.
It does. I told someone today that I was going to have Mark just do about 20 paywalls for me one day because it'll take you 5 minutes. But what was I going to ask you? Oh, okay. As far as this Heather thing goes, Heather gives you this interview. I'm fed up with John. She reaches out to Carl. Who are these podcasts? This is where I can get it all out there. She does the interview, and then she tells John, I just talked to Carl. John immediately starts threatening her with a lawsuit and also reveals, and if this has to be bleeped out, let me know. We'll take care of it, that he has recorded all her phone calls with him.
Yes, and threatened that on his show today he would play them. If he found out that I released the phone call and she talked about John, he was going to play those. He also threatened to reach out to her dad. Her dad is an 82-year-old man who lives in Naples, Florida, and he threatened to play the phone calls for her dad. He's trying to get her in trouble with her parents.
Okay, wait a second. Are we saying there's sexual content here in the calls? Is that it?
I would imagine, yes.
That is so bad. So he's threatening about a phone call that she made willingly with you to talk about whatever that is, and threatening her with phone calls that he recorded of her without her knowledge.
Without permission, yeah. And she even said that. She goes, she was telling me, if he plays these, I'm going to get an attorney. I guess her daughter's an attorney. I'm going to sue him for doing that.
Have there ever been so many lawsuits where there's no money available?
But wouldn't that be, isn't that a criminal case?
Well, but she does have money, so that is a little different.
But wouldn't that be criminal for him? Because California, you know, we talked about the two-party states. California's a two-party state. If she doesn't know she's being recorded...
That's true.
So this is the best part, guys. So then, all of this, I decided to release it on Patreon. She found out I released it on Patreon. She got very upset with me because she told me not to release it. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I said, Heather, You went to the guy who makes fun of Stuttering John every single week on his show. You gave me great fodder to make fun of him even more. You expect me to not use that? That's on you. Of course I'm going to put that out there. You're crazy. This is your mistake that you made.
You know, in the end here, you said she's in Houston and he's in California. I mean, she's probably safe. I don't know about these goons that John has.
The Melenders are pretty tough.
Melenders.
There is Sal to think about.
What a stupid name.
I know. It does sounds like the most unthreatening group of people.
The Melenders?
Or goons? The Melenders?
Yeah, sound like, I don't know. Sound like a payday loan place.
I thought it was some sort of millennial group or something. It took me about 5 minutes to figure out that the Melenders is based on John Melendez.
Yeah, no one knows him as Melendez, though.
No, I know. It's
they should be the Stuttering Johnners.
I think. Yeah. I think I actually feel bad for Heather in this whole thing because she's the one being manipulated, and she did call you of her own volition, Carl. But I mean, he has jerked her around. He is playing with her heart, which is so pathetic. And sucking money out of her, this poor girl. I mean, Jesus. And he records the phone calls. And again, here we go with somebody recording someone without their permission and threatening to play it to humiliate them. This is becoming totally normal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can anyone feel confident that they're not being recorded anywhere, anytime by anyone? And who can stop them from playing it? It seems that there's just no cost to doing it. If Omarosa can do it to the president, who can't do it?
Yeah. Well, it's funny, too, because we choose whether it's okay or not based on whether we dislike the person who's being recorded. Mm.
I gotta think that's right.
If playing these tapes and you have Heather as the victim, people are going to turn on Stuttering John. We're fans of John, and he's out there playing these tapes and embarrass her. Wouldn't you turn on that person? Like, that's a dick move.
Except there's only like 12 people to turn on him, so it doesn't really matter.
Although nowadays, the end justifies the means in so many things.
No, you're right. Okay, I got to take a quick break, and then we have at least one exciting thing to wrap with that I thought was just so weird. Maybe possibly the weirdest thing I've ever heard in Who Are These Podcasts. What are you, Nancy Grace?
I'm trying hard.
As Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram kicks off their Jeep Celebration event, and if you like performance and fully off-road capable vehicles, Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram has you covered. The 2020 loaded Jeep Compass as low as $155 a month, or the 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk four-wheel drive as low as $249 a month. If you need a truck, lease the 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month. And if it's pure performance, port into an SUV that drives like a sports car, that's easy. Go lease a new 2020 Dodge Durango GT at $343 a month. And no Zot spot ends without Jeep Wrangler, which many people are having trouble getting a hold of, especially at the specs they want. And they take care of all those problems only at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Check out their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And they are, of course, our studio sponsor. And the return of the Yaldo Eye Center. Dr. Yaldo, he's doing some good business over there as people want to get rid of their... People want to get rid of their glasses and their prescription sunglasses and their contacts and all those costly things. And you do have to put up some money to have LASIK or multifocal lens replacement. But you make it back over time because you don't have to pay for all these prescriptions and these contacts and all this crap. And Dr. Yaldo is now in a third location in Rochester on Rochester Road, just north of M59. So it's more convenient for those of you in that part of town. Plus, $1,500 off the regular price. If it's custom topography guided LASIK or multifocal lens replacement, you can save yourself $1,500 in addition to all the breaks you'll get with this crap you don't have to buy down the road. So call Dr. Yaldo for a free evaluation, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com and tell him you want the Drew and Mike discount. And then, of course, water, it's everywhere. It's in your home. It's a leaky sink. It's a washing machine that's leaking. It's behind your fridge. Ugh. It's under your dishwasher. Oh, you got a dryer broken now, right? Is that repaired?
Yeah, it's getting fixed. I want to say thank you to all the people that have emailed me about all my appliance issues.
Well, some people are saying that it's because you wash every single towel in between.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, one use.
I mean, the washing machine, I do like 20 loads a day.
Carl, if you...
And I drop about 20.
Let's just say you have a vicious workout like I just had today, and you know it's such a good workout that you actually have a towel around your neck like I did.
You did, yeah.
And you take a shower and you use a towel. Do you wash the towel immediately, or would you use it maybe one more time or a couple more times?
I use it a couple more times.
I do too.
You guys are disgusting.
I guess so.
Your bodies are covered in bacteria.
I don't know anyone who.
Yeah, but our washing machines work.
Does anyone know anyone?
Mine works. I fixed it.
Does anyone in this group know anyone who only uses a towel once? Because I don't.
Well, what I do is I buy quality towels that you can use multiple times. I find that works pretty well.
How do you know towels are Mark and his family have rags?
How do you know my towels aren't quality?
I'm guessing.
Yeah, if you have to wash them every time, they're not quality for long anyway.
I know. But, so you buy new ones.
Well,
I like to treat myself when I get out of the shower to a brand new fluffy dry towel. And
that's
going to
be the next one, is that you use a towel once and then you throw it out.
Believe me, if it was cost effective, I absolutely would. I would love to.
Wow, you've got a thing for towels.
I would do that. I remember when Trey and Parker and Matt Stone, when they got their first big contract, or maybe they were doing basketball, and the movie, what are they called? Distributor were like, you can have anything you want. And they're like, we want new socks every day. So they would open up a pair of socks, wear it, and just throw them away at the end of the day.
I like that.
How luxurious is that?
Yeah. No, that is cool. I agree.
I want to do it with towels.
Some executive.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
I don't remember which executive. Maybe it's Trump. Wears a shirt and throws it out at the end
Brilliant.
Of the day. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Emergency Response Services Incorporated, they would expect you to reuse a towel, I think, if you were cleaning up water. But they also would like you not to have to use a towel to clean up any water anywhere, especially a basement flood and the debacle that creates and the mold left behind. And by the way, listeners have called 877-JOB-DONE to get rid of mold, long-standing mold that I think people worry about, but they don't really know what to do. Oh, do I release a bomb in here? How do I handle this? Well, let Emergency Response Services Incorporated handle it, because they get rid of it and make sure it's gone. Visit 877-JOB-DONE.com or call 877-JOB-DONE for Emergency Response Services Incorporated.
Tremendous amounts of water.
Put that on the fridge. Yeah, if you do have tremendous amounts of water, that is the call you make. 877-JOB-DONE. Okay, so, Carl, what do we have left? We've really gone all over the road here.
I would like to say, you know, I trust Carl, so I never want to listen to any of the cuts or the bits beforehand. I want to be surprised with them, and they're labeled. And one is just labeled abortion supercut, which I imagine is about reply guys, right?
Yes.
Okay. We can skip that one, so.
It's actually a fun little bit, because remember, these are comedians who do a comedy show.
No, they're not.
How many times they say the word abortion on one episode?
I know that was a really great point, a very salient point. Who is really funny when you get two stand-up comedians together and they're females and they say abortion 25 times? You got to wonder how funny that is.
It's not going for jokes. They're very upset.
Okay, so
I know, and yet Louis, I think Louis C.K., which, you know, you're not allowed to like Louis anymore. I want to say one of his last special or second to last special, he opened with abortion. Like, that was the first word out of his mouth. And it was,
oh, God, all this talk about abortion is making me super wet.
I don't know, but he was hilarious with it.
Well, yeah, Louis C.K.
handled it.
Could make it funny. One final note I wanted to mention on Stuttering John, and I'm sure I got this from Carl. Boy, it's just hard. It's just the gift that keeps giving. And we haven't even talked about Opie and Bubba the Love Sponge. You're talking about a team?
Oh, that's not happening.
That's not happening.
Opie's come out and said that Bubba is back down. He doesn't want to ask Howard's permission to
He has to ask.
Why would he have to have his permission?
They wanted to.
Don't even ask. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. They were going to pitch it to Sirius, correct?
Bubba wanted to get permission because Howard and Opie have such a bad relationship over the years that Bubba didn't want to deal with Opie without Howard's blessing, I guess.
God.
And that was because it would be on Sirius or just because?
I think just because, but also maybe the Sirius angle. But that doesn't make sense because they said if Howard retires, they want to take over as the morning show on Sirius. So
please. Oh, my God, what a joke. Is there anybody that they talk about who would replace Howard? Because I always thought, you know, I wonder if Jimmy Kimmel would do that.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel's a huge fan of
Howard. On the show all the time, too.
He's on radio for many years. That's how he got to start.
I can't imagine who that would be. But one more thing on Stuttering John, and hopefully we can move on from him. I don't think it's possible because he just is the gift that keeps giving. But he talked about – oh, this is so weird. He's talking about his ex-wife for some reason on a clip you were playing, and you guys were talking about it. And the fact that she had slept with Adam Sandler before he married her. And I think he was name-dropping. He was using his wife's pussy for a name-drop. Just to say, like, hey, I share pussy with Adam Sandler.
because it didn't even make sense in the conversation at all. He just brought it up out of nowhere. And he's like, well, you know, that Susanna slept with Adam Sandler in college. And he even said it was just to get back at her boyfriend.
Ugh.
He was also painting her in a bad light. It's like, that's your ex-wife. Why are you bringing out this dirty laundry? What are you doing?
Well, that's probably why. It's the ex.
I just can't imagine the poor woman who was married to Stuttering John. Was she hot? Because he was making money then.
She's all right, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I looked her up. She is cute. Hmm. That was hard to believe.
Sandler nailed her.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
Well, that was back at NYU when neither of them were famous.
Well, wasn't he stud boy on Remote Control then?
Maybe. That's possible, yeah.
All right, well, let's wrap up with, this was one of the weirdest things. It did get a little publicity because it was kind of ugly and awkward. You have Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. Big J Okerson, this is a show that does well. I always see it in the charts. It's actually around us. It tends to do a little better than us, a little worse than us, about the same as us. And I know it's generally done very well since I've been keeping track of them. And they have Sebastian Bach on, and my first thing was, God, why can't we book Sebastian Bach? I'd love to book him. But anyway, this conversation goes, Carl, take it over. I don't even know how to set it up.
Sure. So they're talking about vocal exercises. How do you warm up? Sebastian Bach's been doing this for so long. How do you continue to hit those high notes? And he's talking about the vocal exercises that he has. And then he brings up the fact that Rob Halford from Judas Priest does not have to do vocal exercises, and he's still doing it. He's still crushing it. So Big J Okerson, who is a comedian, a stand-up comedian who's on this show, tries to make a joke, and it does not go well with Sebastian Bach.
And Halford tells me that he doesn't warm up, which just shoots everything I just fucking said out the window. But I don't know if he's kind of embellishing the truth of it all, because how cool would that be? You know, I don't need any of that shit. It's
his exercise is probably something gay and he doesn't want to tell you. Because you got to gargle jizz, but I don't want to have to tell you that, Sebastian.
Man, could you not fucking wreck this interview? Like, seriously. Like, Rob Halford's a friend of mine.
He's a genius.
Yeah, so spare the fucking comments, because I'm not posting that, that's for sure.
You don't have to post that part.
I think he's coming on next week, by the way. I just spoke to him today. I think he's coming on.
Maybe you should skip those kind of comments.
So basically, what happened after that is that Sebastian Bach got all upset, turned off his camera, and left the interview because they tried to make a gay joke about Rob Halford. Now, Sebastian Bach famously wore a t-shirt that said, AIDS kills fags dead.
Yeah, oh, wow. I did remember Sebastian Bach was not very gay friendly back in the day. So it's quite a turnaround for him. What's that?
Who was? Just kidding.
Well,
I'm just
kills
kidding.
Fag AIDS kills
I think
fags
it's pretty
dead.
Bad. Yeah.
Pretty tough.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think he would show maybe a little less judgment there. But I have to say this too. I thought the joke was just so lame, lowest common denominator. So why would he go there?
A little too vulgar, maybe. I don't know.
It just
why not try AIDS?
The first part was
just such an easy place to go.
The first part was probably something gay. It was okay. It's the second part of the joke.
Yeah, I mean, he could have just left it hanging there, but it's and that was I didn't think he should probably mention that Rob Halford was coming on the show next week.
Well, then he's just in defense mode.
Yeah, he is.
You know, no, Rob's
he's
cool.
A legend, man.
Rob's cool with us. Sabo.
He's a genius.
Yeah,
right. They try to salvage the interview any way they can. They're trying to backpedal, and it doesn't work. Sebastian Bach leaves the show. It's very awkward. It's actually about 3 or 4 minutes of just them going, is gone, what just happened?
Oh, God.
Here is Sebastian, come back. It's really awkward. 6 days later, Rob Halford comes on the show. And they recount this story to Rob. They say, we just had your buddy Sebastian on. He's a really good friend of yours, man. He's got your back. I tried to tell this joke. You know, Big J explains the joke.
Oh, boy.
Tell the whole thing.
I give him credit, too, for telling him the joke, too, which the payoff for doing it was well worth it.
Don't gargle or swallow. And
damn. I don't gargle, I swallow is what he said.
Yeah. Rob has a great sense of humor about it. He rolls with the punches. I don't gargle, I swallow. And then he says, I'd love to do a comedy roast sometime if you guys want to roast me.
It's boy.
Sebastian, you're standing up for the wrong guy. You're sticking up for the wrong guy. He's cool with it. He doesn't care about gay jokes.
Well, think about everything Rob Halford has been through.
Right.
Yeah, I don't understand why Sebastian Bach would be so judgmental. And I want to say this too. I really sort of get a kick out of Sebastian Bach. I saw a
hell yeah.
I saw a Facebook post from somebody who at Pine Knob here was bombed off their ass after the show. They could barely see straight, and they were partying after Sebastian Bach's show. And Bach's bus drove by, stopped, got out, said, "Hey guys, what's going on? Did you like the show?" And you know, they got pictures with him. And
now, of course, this bus would just have Sabo on it because the rest of the band would have to be in another bus.
Yes,
according to his
of course
autobiography.
Yeah, and he just sounded like a really nice guy, and they really appreciated it, as anybody would. And then last couple weeks ago, I saw a video of Sebastian Bach playing at some. Did we talk about this? It was like before he was anybody big. He was playing with somebody else who was also trying to make it a guitar player, and they were at some little Oscar pre-party or something like that, and singing his ass off because he was nobody then, but they were trying to play some cover songs and get attention from some big shots out there. And it was very interesting to see, you know, him at that very, very young age doing that. But I don't know. He's kind of nuts, but I think he's an okay guy.
He's one of life's greatest philosophies. If he's not rocking,
you're fucking.
And if he's not fucking,
he's rocking. Yeah. You got to love that. Everybody loves that. Carl, who's on Who Are These Podcasts this week?
Well, before I say that, I want to point out, do you remember how Chad Zumach was on our show a month ago or so, and people who like WATP were not thrilled with his appearance?
Yes.
He didn't really roll with the punches, and he stood up for Stuttering John for no reason. Chad Zumach was arrested yesterday on 35 counts. If you go to our subreddit, you'll see the links to the article. It's very interesting.
Ooh.
What happened?
Was he arrested?
I guess he was buying things with other people's credit cards and he had fake IDs. And I don't know all the details. I just read through the different charges that were on there.
What?
Oh, man.
I know.
That's going to help your show.
Yeah, I know. It already is. Wow. That's something that we'll be following on the show coming up for sure. The show that's out right now is featuring, as I mentioned, Gino Bisconti from In Hot Water on Compound Media. Also, Chrissy Mayer joins us. We talk about Reply Guys with Kate Willett. We also go through that whole Stuttering John interview with Opie from the Beer on the Balcony episode. It's hilarious. All they do is talk about Anthony and wonder why Anthony is so mean to them. And we talk about this at length. And then Anthony Cumia went on his show on Monday and talked about us talking about that.
Oh, the circle just keeps going around.
Great. And then, yeah, when you're talking shit online, it never ends. And then this weekend coming up, we're going to do a show called The Rained Out Rantcast, which seems very promising. I've only listened to a little bit of it, but it seems like this person does everything wrong when it comes to podcasting. So,
but it is a rantcast.
The Rained Out Rantcast. Watch out, everybody.
Stupid heavy. Stupid. Okay. Carl, Who Are These Podcasts? We'll be listening, and thank you again for just a cornucopia of data.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jim Bentley. Thanks for having me, guys. Always good to talk to you.
All right, Carl.
Now fix your internet.
Okay. Jim Bentley. What is Bentley doing?
Hi, Jim. Thank you.
Bentley can't even fill in anymore.
You know, the last thing he sent me was a picture of a pair of balls that look like a snail. And I just told him, I like snail.
Does he have any luck with Richard Marx these days?
You know what?
Get that Scott Baio.
I didn't get as much traction.
I guess he didn't.
You know, he started a new job that he actually is, you know.
Yeah, this is an important job for him. He's at a point where he sort of needs to raise three kids.
Yeah, reality's getting to him.
Yeah. So he's taking it pretty seriously. I mean, he couldn't fill in. When has Bentley not been available to fill in?
I don't know. He's working hard. He's all a right. Good man.
If you're a man facing divorce or custody issues, call Adam. For nearly 30 years, Adam has been helping men just like you protect your rights and get the fair treatment, the court system that you deserve. Don't take a chance with your future. Go with the best, because Adam has the knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys that you want. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM. Brandon, you know, I missed the Chet Hanks. You said he had posted something important. I mean, all Chet Hanks things are important, but I forgot to get into that yesterday. What did Chet Hanks post?
Chet Hanks got a little political following the 2020 election.
Oh, boy.
And he did post this. However, his analysis has been under fire for some reason. Let's try to find out why.
Okay, yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
So I just want to say that, you know, like, now that Trump's leaving office, I think it's important to remember that he was the president, so we should show some psych! Pussyclot! Fuck them, Ross! Donald no one around would be boss man Biden! Fuck them, Ross! Pussyclot, boy! Go suck una mada!
What?
Yeah.
Cool.
Once again, he's under fire for using a Jamaican accent. People don't seem to like when he does that. Why except his mom loves it.
Why does he keep doing that?
How about the fact that it's just stupid? It's completely stupid.
But why? Why? He must. Does someone tell him it's hilarious?
His mom does, remember?
Yeah, right. I remember that. That was the funniest thing from the whole Golden Globes night.
Oh, my God.
Is that funny? Tom Hanks did not say anything that I recall.
And you can't cancel Chet from anything, so.
Oh, that's true.
What are you going to cancel him but from? Hanks family?
Is he sell ads on his? He has 3 million followers or something, doesn't he?
Yeah, but I don't think that has anything to do with who decides to advertise with him. I think if you get X amount of views, they just start giving you money.
Does he post advertising?
Not that I know of.
Oh my God, that Instagram reminds me. There was a story today, and I couldn't find the girl. But the story was she's too hot for Tinder. Like they pulled her off of Tinder because she's too hot.
What?
So many people steal her photos and,
for catfishing
and whatnot. Okay. So I went to her Instagram page.
Yeah.
And speak of reply guys, every single one is fucking hot.
Is this Luna Benna?
Yes, Luna Benna. Yeah, did you see that story? Pull up her Instagram for Drew and just read some of them because it is just honestly, she is smoking hot.
Well, who took her? What do you mean? Who took her off? She took herself off?
Well, that's the story is that she was kicked off Tinder because she's so fucking hot. Like, there's one that's just.
God damn.
Yeah, G-A-A-H. God damn.
You're just perfect from every angle. Ridiculous. Oh, you blow me away.
Oh, God.
You're so gorgeous. Oh, my God. You're so beautiful. Angel. Wow, I love you.
Holy moly. This is five fire emojis. What's wrong with people?
I don't know. People spend their time doing this. She'll never spit on them.
But that's...
Hey, guys. Would you mind if I say you're my WCF? I mean... Woman crush forever. That is so powerful.
You know, that is so stupid.
Why did I think of that?
Why did he use WCF and then say what? I'm mad at his post.
He's going to get a response from it. That is so
powerful.
But
he used WCF and then used the actual words to describe it because nobody knows what WCF means.
Wow, I mean, she's hot.
She's smoking
hot. Boy, she is.
Just pick a random one. Let's see. Maybe somebody.
Oh, wow. That one's a seatbelt. See, I just did not see a boob that big underneath. She's got a hider rack, doesn't she, kind of? Oh,
she is.
Yeah.
She is smoking hot.
Oh, ooh, wow. Hider racks, man. Wow.
I love seeing you shine.
Oh, shut up.
See you shine. Wait, how fake.
There was a butt picture. I mean, I'm sure the butt picture's going to. I'd love to be in there.
I want to hear more comments. I think these guys are really creative.
Oh, this is a video. That one's a video. Hey.
All right, fine.
Let's see the
more
video.
Comments, please.
Oh, yeah, she's walking upstairs with a thong on. You know what I like to think about, too?
What a stupid post.
Someone is filming that 1 inch from her butthole.
Oh, that's a masterpiece.
So, is she a cam girl or something? Or is she
yes.
I want to spank your ass.
That's an masterpiece.
God. More comments, please. I just want to see a few more.
God, she is beautiful.
I know.
Oh, these guys are so taken aback.
Gorgeous, you look fire. Gorgeous mama.
The thirst is real. Slurp.
That's what she posted about the picture.
Oh, okay.
Seeing this post. Check this out. Seeing this post with the picture is her squeezing her tits together.
Seeing this post is honestly the highlight of my day.
What a nice day.
Your beauty can brighten up even the darkest of days.
Water squirt emoji, water squirt emoji, water squirt emoji.
I'm not thirsty, but I'm getting real hungry all of a sudden. Wish I had something, anything, something to eat.
Brandon, click on view replies. There were two replies to that. I don't know if they were from her and then him again. Oh, she did reply. I love this, LOL.
I'm just making sure you smile. It's a pleasure on its own.
Oh, God, that guy came when he saw there was a reply. I think she replies to a lot of them.
Oh my God.
She does.
She loves these.
Yeah, she thanks everybody. Oh,
thank you, Tom. You're
honestly the most the most beautiful and sexiest woman in the world. You're my favorite model on Instagram.
Oh. Hands down.
And what did she reply to it? There's got to be a reply, right?
Oh, it's a long reply.
Maybe she does bang somebody.
You make me so happy. Keep your head high, babe. I know you're such a strong man. Oh, you make me happy, babe. Okay, babe, I'll keep my head up.
I just blew up in my pants.
Keep your head strong, man. What?
You are a very tasty girl.
Click on that guy. I just want to see his.
Who, Carlos?
God. Oh, Jesus Christ. Did she reply to that guy?
Oh, he's 8. First off, well, how old is that guy?
He's got to be 70.
Yeah, probably 300.
Come on, he's only on Instagram to turn his life around. Look at his. Come on.
His post.
Underneath his name, it says,
I missed the time
when I was happy.
Well, then maybe you shouldn't go on Hot Chicks Instagram and comment about how hot they are.
Yeah, there was like 20. Oh, be my baby forever. Nice pig.
Sexy pig.
So she has an OnlyFans account, 1.2 million followers, and she first joined Tinder in 2017 when she was, quote, yeah, I'm dumb and looking for love. And she said that her pictures were such a hit on there that she would get gift offers and marriage proposals, which she loves the attention. But now, because the Tinder dates... or people have taken the Tinder that they've kicked her off Tinder.
Because that's her too, nude?
Yeah.
Oh my.
Well, she has an OnlyFans.
Oh, I see.
Oh, that butthole looks so nice.
I mean, she's hot. No.
Oh, wow. Boners about it. Her OnlyFans too.
She what?
She does some banging on that OnlyFans.
Is that a penis in her mouth?
There's a penis in my mouth.
That sounds so stupid. I mean, I just didn't expect to see that.
Really?
That's really her?
Really? She's on OnlyFans.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I guess I just thought somebody with 1.2 million followers would just... Could he just make money without having to do that? That would be pretty explicit, too, that one right there.
Which one?
There's a penis inside her from behind.
Oh,
I'm trying to be as
clinical as I can.
Well done.
Let's go to the bathroom.
Oh, I see your hands on there too.
Climax into that thin toilet paper.
My. Well.
Oh, good for her. I'm glad she's happy.
Yeah. No, it sounds like she's really having a wonderful start to her career, and I think she's building something.
I don't know if she really should be replying to every creep on her Instagram.
Hell yes, yeah. I'd be looking out my window every day if you were out there.
She does. She replies to everyone.
Okay. Well, God, it's funny. I was sort of I was excited to have Carl on because I knew there was a lot of cool podcasting stuff and people seem to like the feature. So it's nice to have somebody bringing something to the table just from outside of the norm and just out of the blue. It has nothing to do with politics, which is refreshing. And I noticed that the last hour or so, it seems like it always works this way, as I start going, okay, I got to look at everything, see if I'm not missing anything today, and, you know, there's this, and this, and this, and this, and it seemed like everything was getting worse the closer it got to the show, so I just said, Carl's coming on, so I'll just have to deal with that later, we will, and the first thing that I thought was just so stupid, and Brandon said it, it's good show prep, Brandon, is that Blue Ivy Carter, the adorable daughter of Beyonce and Jay-Z, that she has a chance to get a Grammy for she narrated a, let's see, what is it? It's an audiobook for, it's a cartoon called Hair Love about a father fixing his daughter's hair.
Oh, okay.
His daughter of color's hair. And so I guess she narrates.
How old is this kid?
The original video had really no audio in it, and then they said, well, let's have her narrate it and put her up for a Grammy, which I thought was so obnoxious because, you know, there's actually adults who've been working in careers, doing this forever, trying to, you know, get acclaim for themselves, and Jay-Z and Beyonce have to submit their, 7-year-old daughter for a fucking Grammy for narration?
Yeah, because, you know, they're in charge of everything.
But isn't that really rude to the adults in the business who don't have famous parents who have 50 Grammys between them?
Well, this looks like it was also a animated film that won the Oscars. So
it's the Grammy.
And that's why the New York Post is saying that she stands a very good chance, this 7-year-old, to win a Grammy for narration.
She's 8 now. 8 years old.
Oh, she's 8. Oh, excuse me. She was 7 when she did it.
She's matured a lot in the last year, Drew.
And then they point out that she won a BET award for the song Brown Skin Girl and had an NAACP Image Award for the same single.
Wow.
Fucking 8.
All that talent, though, man. So strong.
Really? I mean, she narrated it. She read something and someone wrote.
I know. I kind of want to hear it.
I mean, did they put her up against other 8-year-olds or 7-year-olds to compete and see who the best was? Did she disguise herself as someone else's child and go in and win the job?
Well, now I
hope Tori Spelling.
Now I hope there's somebody who's really famous that's up against her and loses to an 8-year-old Beyonce's kid.
There's something amusing about that. I really think it'd be more fun to see her lose, frankly.
Like Michael Cohen doing his audiobook. He's nominated and he loses her. I'm trying to look for a silver lining on this, Drew.
Could be. I like the positive thinking. Green light thinking always.
It's pretty silly.
But anyway, as reading the story, they're saying that, hey, this could be the 51st Grammy in the family and the first. I'm like, the first? What? So we know that she's going to win Grammys,
more.
I mean, fuck you. Really?
Maybe she doesn't want to be in the music biz.
So I dug a little deeper, and somebody else did the same story, and they pointed out that, by the way, her parents, who have complained about the Grammys, both of them have. That it's, it's too oriented towards white men or, you know, whatever. They've won 50 Grammys between them.
Wow.
How can they complain? And so they
Grammy hogs.
They mentioned that.
Someone else wins. Jeez.
If Blue Ivy wins the Grammy, that between the three of them, they'll have 51 Grammys. And they compared that to, I'm trying to think of all the people they added up. They said,
oh, God.
Lennon McCartney, the Rolling Stones, the Who, Led Zeppelin, and the Kinks. I mean, you'd think that'd be a shit ton of Grammys. That's like 32 Grammys.
Wow.
And Beyonce and Jay-Z have 50, and Blue Ivy may have 1, which would tie her with Led Zeppelin and the Kinks.
What about Mariah Carey and Nick Carter? They have a bunch? Or not Nick. What's his name? Nick Cannon. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like what other relationship would have that many.
I can't imagine. I mean, I think both of them are up in the top 10. And, you know, when I said that that giant group of superstars has 32 or whatever, Paul McCartney has like 19 of them.
Ooh, is this just your way to bring up Paul McCartney's Grammys?
No. Yeah. No, I'm actually appalled that these two people in their 8-year-old could have 51 Grammys soon, and this giant group of very respected classic rockers. I think the bigger the names you can put together and see how the Grammys have screwed people in the past. I mean, it's just revolting that this fucking brat.
Well, just wait until the 3-year-old twins start doing stuff.
They have 3-year-old twins?
Yeah, don't they?
Oh, fuck. Oh, God. I think I'm going to die just in time.
Well, there's a fun story. I don't know if did you see the Amazon delivery truck at in Oxford today, Boulder Point Golf Club.
Wait, what happened?
Let me pull it up on the computer so you can see it here. He did that. He drove into he's on the cart path and there's a tunnel and he jammed the Amazon Prime truck into the tunnel.
Wow.
Oh boy.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Sucks, but isn't that great?
Now, why would that Amazon van be on the cart path going into that bridge?
That's a great question. I think he followed his GPS and took him onto the cart path. This guy, Bill Offer, went over to the driver who told him his GPS had led him there. I said, couldn't have been. You're on a cart path, he told him. The driver was apologetic and seemingly embarrassed. The driver apparently took a wrong turn, didn't realize his truck wouldn't fit in the tunnel, which runs under a road.
I could see myself doing that easily. It's well, not as bad as Iggy Pop and the Stooges, who went under that Washington Street Bridge in Ann Arbor.
Yeah,
They had like a 14-foot truck, and it was like 11.6 or something. And it sheared the top off. And they all were injured, and they hid all their drugs in a bush nearby and went back and got them later after they went to the hospital and got stitches.
Isn't that funny, though, that truck? That's such a good picture. Oh, now, the other funny thing is, look at that advertisement on the Free Press's webpage on the right.
David Muir?
At 46, David Muir reveals his partner, and you will easily dot, dot, dot. And it's the worst Photoshop of David Muir's head on a, like, guy chest, like, nipples up. With a really hairy chest.
Okay, who is his partner? I'm biting.
It's a clickbait advertisement. You want me to click on it?
Does he have a partner? Because I've always heard that he was gay, but that he never says he's gay.
It's not really. Okay, there I clicked.
He takes a lot of shirtless pictures though for his Instagram.
I clicked on it, and it's these inspiring celebrity couples might stay forever and ever. I'm not going
to
click.
Chris Cuomo. Now you got to try to find David Muir.
Chris Cuomo will not be with her forever and ever. I don't think.
Megan McCain and some guy.
I question that too. Catherine Bell and Brooke. Catherine Bell is lesbian?
See, now we learned something.
Wait. When did she come out?
I didn't know she did. Wait, she's they're both hot. They're both Scientologists?
Oh, wait. No, they're not. Not if they're gay.
Wow. 8 years she's been with Brooke Daniels.
Wait, Scientology is very anti-gay.
I'm so confused.
I am too. Catherine Bell, been she married a couple times? I mean, anything is possible. She could be bisexual.
Says their common interest is Scientology.
Oh, that's weird. This is good clickbait. I like this clickbait.
It's terrible.
Where's
David Muir, though?
David Burkett and Neil Patrick Harris. Yeah. Hot. Robert Duvall and Luciana Pedraza.
A chick that's way too young for him.
Yeah.
How many things am I going to have to click through?
Jason Stratham and who's his chick?
Some broad.
Al Roker. And Deborah Roberts is married to Al Roker?
Yeah, you didn't know
that? Why didn't I know that?
Yeah.
He's got prostate cancer.
Yeah.
Hopefully then.
Patrick Mahomes and that loudmouth.
Oh, yeah, that pain in the ass. They're not going to be happy.
Where's David Muir? I don't see him on here.
They always do this. He'll be like the 50th one. Daniel Craig and Rachel Weisz. Wait, Daniel Craig's with Rachel Weisz?
Oh, yeah.
Vice, but yeah.
Why don't I know any of this? What?
Because you don't click on clickbait.
Do I not know anything anymore?
Okay, boomer. Mr. Bean?
He's funny. I like him. Ben Rickon, Richardson.
I don't know who any of these people are.
I don't care about enough of these couples to keep clickbaiting. Can't you just speed ahead to David Muir? Wait, who's Willie Nelson's woman?
I already went by it.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, can't go back.
All right, while you're looking, while you're clicking, I will tell you the latest in the Phil Collins story. Poor Phil Collins. Can someone shut this cunt up? I mean, seriously. His estranged wife, he marries this chick in 91 or 92, and they get divorced in 2006. They have a couple kids. And Phil, in the divorce, she got some insane amount of money. I mean, it's like $26 million. And she blew through the money. She's a big spender. And so in 2015, all of a sudden it's like, I'm out of money, and I really do love you, and I think we should get back together. Well, they did. They got back together, and there was something to the effect that they wanted to start over, and so they moved, and Phil bought this big house, and then in 2019, I believe it was, well, this is her standpoint, is that they bought this big house, and that he said that, it's half yours, no matter what happens, mm-hmm. Which is weird. I mean, they've been apart for 9 years, and they're getting back together, and she's sort of making the suggestion that he said the house is 50% mine. She says in 2017 that Phil lost it. He lost his voice. He was worried about his career. He was taking antidepressants. She acts like that's losing it. No, that's actually being proactive and trying to, do something about a problem. He was having physical ailments. And she really makes it sound like it's his fault. He couldn't sing. He had physical ailments. He's on antidepressants. I'm responsible for his health. And then, of course, the big deal that she's making is that he stopped showering and he stunk.
Gross.
And that he didn't take care of himself and his hygiene was poor.
Oh, I stink.
So at some point around, I think, 2019, she decides that I'm going to spend more time at your vacation house.
Yeah.
And that's when she met this, she had this younger escort.
Mm-hmm.
She's 46 or something. He's 29, I think.
P.U.
Don't you wish that guy would come out and say she stunk?
She's a nice lady, but boy, that
her hygiene's terrible.
Oh, my God.
I can't stand sex anymore. Jesus Christ.
And the queefs.
Oh, God. I mean, I'll still nail it, but I ain't not going down there.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? Just wonderful payback. Of course, that didn't happen. She spent all of Phil's money on this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, just gave him everything. Took him to a Phil Collins concert. Introduced him to Phil. Hey, I've got connections with Phil Collins, and we can go back and you can meet him.
He knows about us.
So eventually, in 2019, not the escort. I think it was somebody else that she married.
Yeah.
She was staying at Phil's vacation home, and she married this guy. And of course, she doesn't tell Phil because she wants Phil's funds. And Phil finally found out that she was legally married, mm-hmm. and that she was living with this guy in his vacation house. And I think it was disputes about, you know, why aren't you spending any more time back here at this house that, you know, we bought in 2015?
Phil? Hey, Phil? Phil?
So now she is suing him, claiming that he promised that house is 50% mine and I want my half.
He promised it, or does she have an enrollment?
She says that... he promised that if they split up, he would give her half the house. Phil has a prenup signed by her and him that says, no, we have a prenup. Here's the deal. And,
that's end of story, man.
I agree. I mean, there's no reason to even discuss it any further, but of course, she's suing him.
Did he go, here's my prenup. She can't say anything after that. It's pretty intense.
She's contesting the prenup. It's pretty galling that she would marry someone else. Yeah. Stay in his vacation home.
Did you bang my wife? Huh? Did you bang my whore wife? Does anybody here have any illegitimate children with my whore wife that I should know about?
Then she would demand half the house that he bought in 2015 and then run around saying that he stinks. I mean, how shitty is that?
That's very shitty.
It is so bad.
And I'm a terrible person because I think that story's funny. But yeah, she's a terrible, terrible person.
I agree. I chuckled. I laughed at first. And then the more I read the story, I was like,
it's really sad.
Look at how fucking terrible people are these days. Look at how horrible, horrible, horrible people are. It's
all fair in love and war, Drew.
It's like Stuttering John, you know, this girl
who
he apparently, you know, she believes there's something going on between them. He's recording all the phone calls.
Yeah.
And threatening to play them to her father.
Yeah. Plus, he's threatening violence. What a loser.
And she's
just a loser.
She's throwing all this money his way. I mean, it's just a horror. I mean, what is going on with people? And I guess the part that bothers me is that it doesn't seem like. I'm going to stop going back and mentioning this because I feel like I'm turning into a broken record. But, you know, when Linda Tripp did that, everybody said, you fucking bitch.
Yeah.
You're horrible. And she was like, it was like, she's done. Bye. And I think she wrote a book and she made some money. And, you know, of course, people do that all the time. But it didn't. She wasn't rewarded for it.
Yeah.
And now it just seems like people don't. It's like it's just that's part of life. Recording. You always should always be recording people when they call you. And if you can, if they screw you over, then put out some text message that they sent to you that you can take out of context and make them look really bad. I mean, for people who I always felt this was true, and maybe this has changed, maybe not. I always thought privacy was something people were pretty adamant about.
Sure.
When it comes to people knowing your health records or Gates putting his chips in you.
Oh, that ended when everybody willingly put all their shit on social media.
But everyone didn't.
No, I know that. But I really think the idea of people's privacy has been lost because of that, because so many people willingly put their shit out there.
But I don't think being on Instagram is the same thing as recording someone's phone
call. It's not. I'm just saying you wonder why it's kind of whittled away. I think.
Okay. I should drop the topic. It's just over.
Not at all.
Well, I honestly kind of feel that way. The privacy is over. I mean, even reasonable privacy seems to be over because, you know, I go back to the Buffalo Bills quarterback. This ex-girlfriend decides, I'm going to put out his text messages about black people. And it was a stupid text. It was a joke about people owning guns. And she made him look really bad. So I guess she was very happy. And everybody else was kind of mad at him.
Yeah.
And he's apologizing all over himself.
Think about it this way. I mean, it's terrible, yeah, but at least we get great things out of it like this.
Tell me that the message or something, right? Because you're doing something.
I mean, we are the beneficiaries.
Trying to breastfeed with foreign bodies in you.
Foreign bodies.
Was that it?
It has nothing to do with it.
Oh, it had nothing to do with what? The fact that you had foreign bodies in there?
Isn't it fun?
Isn't that quality great?
It's fun listening back and knowing what's going to trigger Mal.
I really want to contact her and find out, why is the quality so good on this call? What did you use? It's fantastic quality.
I'm surprised she's not doing her own podcast.
Right, okay, good.
Is that good audio technology?
To me about fake
I've never have.
Yes. Yes, you just did. You said they weren't. You f***ing lied to me before.
What? I didn't.
What? She's playing dumb. Uh-oh.
I never said it, or I never Wait, said
she said her boobs were real?
You never asked me, I never told you.
He's going to be triggered.
Or maybe you asked me, but I never lied about this.
Not a lie. Who cares?
That wasn't
ridiculous.
It.
Get rid of them, why don't you? Anyway.
Anyway.
That's not none of your f***ing business.
It is, it is.
Second trigger
stupid. I'm just telling you, it's just an appraisal. Keep them if you want. Look stupid. See if I give a f***. You know, but they're too big.
Almost.
And stupid. They look like
almost
a
set
Vegas
them off.
Bitch. They look like a Vegas whore. And you go around sashaying around in your tight clothes and stuff. I won't stand for that anymore.
I don't walk around. I don't walk.
Just gonna do it.
I don't walk around in tight clothes. I stay most of the time.
You go out public and it's a embarrassment to me. You look like a bitch on heat. And if you get raped by a pack of n***s, it'll be your fault.
There you go, man.
All right? Because you provoked it. You are provocatively dressed all the time with your fake boobs. You feel you have to show off in tight outfits and tight pants.
Well, why not?
From behind. And that green thing today was enough. That's provocative. Okay? I'm telling you. I'm just telling you the truth. I don't like it. I don't want that woman. I don't want you. I don't believe you anymore. I don't trust you. I don't love you. I don't want you.
I think that green thing really triggered him.
Stay in the f***ing house. I'm not giving it to you, but I'll let you stay there. Okay?
Oh, nice guy.
And I will take care of my child, but I don't want you anymore.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
Whoa!
I have finally made it through the end of the clickbait.
Really?
And I will admit, I cheated a little bit and went to the address bar and jumped ahead a bunch of numbers.
Oh, you got
to
teach me how to do that.
And I think it's number 84. It was the 84th.
Holy fuck! 84 clicks to get to David Muir's partner?
Yep. And this is the really depressing.
Is it a dude?
Yeah, and it's the depressing thing. It's the guy we always thought it was. It's Gio Benitez.
It is.
Well, according to the clickbait ad on the Free Press website, it is.
You know, I'm surprised because David Muir thinks he's so hot, and you know he takes those really pensive looking pictures, like, here's me looking out the window of the airplane, just deep in thought, and it's clear that you know he's not taking the pictures too.
Yeah,
and I think he takes a lot of pictures of his muscles and no shirts and all that. Is Gio Benitez, is he too hot for Gio Benitez?
No,
I mean, in his own mind.
Gio's pretty clean cut. I mean, I think Gio's okay for him. I mean, do work together, so I hope they reported it to HR.
I hope so too. Is there anything about the relationship?
Yes.
Any quotes? Can you please read them? I think it's important. I'm very supportive.
When the bits of gossip needing David Muir to be involved with Gio Benitez began,
who needed it?
That's what I mean. I
did
don't
not
understand
need
it.
This.
People are just want them to be together.
Come on.
Gio was just a standard journalist for 2020. They were located together on different evenings out, and individuals rushed to conjecture. Neither of them.
It's almost like those wieners had to come together. There was no way that.
It's like two magnets.
Those asses and those wieners weren't coming together. Yeah, it was like the magnification. Yeah, it was like the two negatives, two positives. It just had to happen. There was no way. If they were in the same room, it was going to happen.
But neither of them would affirm their relationship. By 2016, Gio got hitched to Tommy DiDario and closed down the gossipy tidbits for good. Then, David is still evidently gladly single. He's presently facilitating the ABC World News Tonight with David Muir and keeps working with 2020. He earned $20 million last year.
Wait a minute. That entire description goes against what the headline of this clickbait is.
Yeah, wait, Gio's married.
I know.
So what the fuck?
I don't know.
Are they saying that the magnification, it did happen? I mean, if they're in the same room, it's going to happen. But Gio is no longer in. He's no longer in close.
But the headline is, these celebrity couples will stay together forever.
I think maybe they mean if he's in proximity to Muir that it has to happen, but that he's currently not of his proximity and married this other dude.
I want you to know that I love you with all my heart and that I'd be honored if you would be my husband tonight.
It's actual.
Did you
audio.
Say that Gio, did Gio get divorced?
It doesn't say that. I don't see that anywhere.
I got to Google this. This is too hot not to Google. David Muir.
You said it was on 86?
I think it was the 86 slide.
What bullshit?
Just look at your boyfriend and say, you and I both know this is weird. Close your eyes and do it and get it over with and hope for the best.
Did we talk about their TV, their new show?
Whose new show?
Wasn't that Fred Armisen?
Oh, yeah. We did not talk about the new show, Moonbase 8.
Fucking funny.
Starring John C. Reilly, Fred Armisen, Tim Heidecker from Tim and Eric. Awesome show. Great job. And with Travis Kelce in it. Those are the four stars.
And
the
of course,
tight end from the Kansas
yes.
City Chiefs.
And right away I'm going, what is Travis Kelce doing in this show? This is ridiculous.
Have you seen it, Brandon?
No. What is it on? Hulu, Netflix?
Showtime.
What are we talking here?
Showtime.
I don't have Showtime.
Travis Kelce's role, and I'm not going to be a spoiler, but he was so goddamn funny. It was
He's
really
a good actor.
All I can say is that, okay, you got NASA guys who are, they want to go to the moon?
Yeah, so they have different moon bases. Theirs is obviously Moonbase 8, where they're, you know, acclimating to living together. I think they're 200 days in when we joined.
And they're in competition with other groups in NASA, right, to go?
Yes, yeah, to be the group to be selected. And the NFL has placed Travis Kelce in it for publicity sake.
Of course.
Because he plays himself?
Because the NFL needs publicity. Yes,
which makes total sense. I mean, it almost seems real to me.
Brandon, that's what's hilarious about it, is that he is playing a version of himself.
I know, and a real arrogant version of himself, which makes it even funnier. He's so funny. And John C. Reilly is the head. He's the captain of the mission. And he's such like a Travis Kelce fan. Yes. The Travis Kelce abuses it and jacks him around. Yes. And the other astronauts are like, dude, what? You know, is Travis taking advantage of you? What's going on? It's really funny.
I thought it was
like
a good show.
John C. Reilly's a Travis Kelce groupie or something.
Yes. Yeah,
and
he's
his
the
captain.
It's ridiculous.
I really thought it was funny. Oh, here's Gio Benitez kissing his boyfriend. Or his husband.
Is David Muir in the...
No.
Is he in the plants looking through, like, spreading
it's
them?
It's the wedding, and I don't think Muir's invited.
Wow, those two are awfully handsy.
They are. But it would have been too powerful if Muir was there. It probably would end up in a three-way. Wedding night three-way.
Did David give him away?
Maybe.
You know, he runs 2020 in ABC News. There's another great...
Maybe.
There's another great news clip from MSNBC. I think, Brandon, you did put on your prep.
Oh, yes. Oh, I totally forgot about this.
It is up there. It's not as good as, but it is up there with gay fucking shit, I thought.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
And
gay this is fucking shit.
NBC's Ken, I've never even heard of this guy, Ken Delanian.
Yeah.
And he's on with Craig Melvin. I like Craig Melvin. I think he's pretty good. So, Craig, they're doing election bullshit, and here's what happened.
Ken, what have you learned, sir?
Shit. Fuck.
Let's do Craig Melvin.
Think we lost Ken.
No, we didn't.
We'll try to get him back there. Ken,
what do you mean you think you lost
him? You did not
him?
Lose him. You just heard him saying shit and fuck. Like we did.
It's like the loudest whisper.
Come on, Melvin. Get with it.
The look on Melvin's face, too, is just like, what do I do?
I know, and he acts like he can say that we lost contact, and nobody will remember the fact that he said shit and fuck.
As if anybody watching didn't immediately back it up on their TVRs.
You're watching NBC North Dakota News, your news leader in high definition.
Gay fucking shit.
Good evening, I'm Van Tew. You may have seen our newest AJ on NBC North Dakota News, and he'll be joining the weekend news team as my co-anchor. Tell us a little bit about yourself, AJ.
Thanks, Van. I'm very excited. I graduated from West Virginia University, and I'm used to, you know, from being from the East Coast.
Okay, well, welcome aboard, AJ.
AJ's, like, already over it.
I think Van handled it much better than Melvin.
Ken, what have you learned, sir?
She did.
Oh, shit. Fuck.
The story is that...
I think we lost Ken for a second. We'll try to get him back there.
Yeah,
Ken, what have you learned, sir?
Oh, shit.
He's
so dramatic. What happened is he looks at his phone. So something happened on his phone. I'm dying to know what it was.
My understanding is he thought that he disconnected himself from the control room.
Oh.
And therefore, he didn't think his mic was hot. But apparently the mic was hot and he had a direct link.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, he thought he had
That's a good excuse. That's the only excuse we'd accept.
Well, at least he didn't
thought
beat
he had
off,
terminated
like,
the contact, and he didn't.
At least he didn't pull a Jeffrey Toobin, which, by the way, has that just disappeared because of the election or what?
I think it disappeared. I'm really confused about Jeffrey. I'm so confused about Jeffrey Toobin. I have to go upstairs and heat up my coffee, and I want to come back and talk about Jeffrey Toobin.
Well, I'm going
to
look it up while you're gone because I'm just...
By the way, is the NBC guy, have they said he's suspended or anything, or did they just say, oh, it was a goof?
It probably was a goof. I mean, MSNBC is a little loose. Remember the girl that called the Lakers the N-words?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they're going to be the shock news, shock 24-hour news system.
I just can't help saying that, you know, this guy who typed nuggets and lost his job because the U is next to the I and the T is next to the R, which it is. It was a really freaky thing, but why would they let him go and let her, who said it on a broadcast, not on Twitter, and she stays?
Yeah.
And, you know, the Martin Luther Coon King guy in Rochester, bye. The Martin Luther Coon King guy in St. Louis, bye. Mike Greenberg at ESPN says Martin Luther Coon King, and no problem-y.
Yeah, no, it's
this whole double standard is just such a pile of shit.
It all depends on who you're employed by and if the public likes you. And if powerful people don't like you.
Well,
they need an excuse to get rid of you.
Yeah, well, that too. I mean, there's a lot of parts to it. There's no standard, and there never will be a standard.
Okay, I just wanted to make this clear. The guy in Rochester and the guy in St. Louis were not in danger career-wise. They were, in Rochester, he was the victim of the mayor, the NAACP,
the city council,
all of whom suggested that, well, some suggested and some suggested other things, but it was suggested that, well, boy, that sure came off your tongue easily, and you know, must
You've
be in your
powerful enemy today, my friend.
It must be in your repertoire of things you say if you said it so easily. And no one seemingly was made aware of the fact that there were 7 or 8 people across the country who had made the exact same mistake. And in fact, they had some linguist, this was in St. Louis, who the paper interviewed, who said, this is not an uncommon mispronunciation. It's very easy, and explained why, you know, that the word's Martin Luther King, blah, blah, blah.
The damage is already done by then.
Yeah, no, the guy in Rochester was gone because the station let him go. And that was following the demand of the mayor and also the NAACP. Now, he had already agreed to go to sensitivity training, which he really didn't want to do because he said it was a flub.
Yeah.
But he said, I'm going to go because, I want to learn about how hurtful this is, even though I didn't mean to do it. So he actually completed his sensitivity training, and now he is unemployable. The guy in St. Louis was, well, they said that he was taking some time off, you know, to digest his mistake.
Yeah, right.
But they didn't invite him back.
It's just him walking around his house going, oh, shit. Fuck.
Pretty much. He apologized. He never came back.
All right. So I did really quick research on Jeffrey Toobin, which was just going to his Twitter page. And he has tweeted in the last 2 days.
Just like about regular stuff. Like, hey, everything's normal. Forget about my dick and masturbating on Zoom and stuff. I'm just like doing normal tweeting again.
He has one tweet from 2 days ago. And it's to, looks like Andrew Kaczynski. I don't know what happened. I think his kid might be sick or something. So it's just rooting for you, and especially for better days for your little girl, my friend. I mean, very nice, well wishes.
Yeah, she's going to be kissing a lot of asses for no reason.
To a co-worker.
I'm wondering how the replies are.
Brandon knows where I'm going with this, because immediately, right away, we loved you before the incident. Everyone makes mistakes. But Jeffrey, we don't want to see you at CNN anymore.
and of course, on this reply about this guy's kid.
And of course, that gets a reply from someone who's like,
are you perfect? Let he is who is without sin, dot, dot, dot. To which that person replied, I for one enjoyed his analysis, but seriously, there's no good reason to bring him back. In these changing times, we did elect a president with a very questionable character. What? What the fuck are you talking about?
I love how someone uses that to help Jeffrey Toobin.
Cut it out, Toby813. No one knows what you're talking about.
No, there's a really weird vibe going on with Jeffrey Toobin, and I just want to get my coffee. But are there more good replies I should hear before I go get it?
Here's one that says, they actually wrote out, sigh, I used to respect the tube man. Now, I don't know anymore. Dot, 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 dot. Six dots. I mean, this guy is wishing a coworker well because of their kid. And
I just...
He's got a lot of defenders.
I don't understand why he has defenders. It just blows my mind because if it's someone else, there's going to be no one defending them.
How about, Jeffrey, hang on, dude. Everything's going to be all right. That has 101 likes, by the way, and two retweets.
Everybody needs a guy like that behind him, you know?
Who, Sean00 Guerra?
Yeah. I mean, somebody who just is oblivious to how damaging something is. And just, hang in there, guy. You're going to be great.
Mark, you need to go to the very, very bottom like I did. Right. Because then you're finding the good responses. Like, hey, Jeff, what kind of porn do you like to jerk off to?
Or, whack this. No one missed you or your guy won anyway.
Here's Alex from the Bro One. He says, hey, Tubes, you trying to pay for another abortion?
Jesus Christ. Oh, God, people are
hey, do you have a supply of tissues nearby? That was Bob Johnson. Here's Lawrence. He says, hey, you need to jack off on Zoom more, pal.
Oh, boy. Well, you know,
this one, you need to stay as strong as your right forearm is. It's kind of funny.
It's pretty good.
And then it's like no likes, no retweet. I'm giving this guy a like.
That's bullshit.
For no reason. Like he has now has one like from a stranger. He has no idea why I'm reading it.
This guy says, hey, it was a nice message to the daughter. Very good of you to tweet the message instead of zoom it in. So everybody just knows that. Hey, Tubes, man, keep on stroking. But you know what I really think happened is I think the Rudy Giuliani story knocked Tubes out because as soon as Toobin came, like the next day, the Rudy Giuliani leaked footage from the Borat movie kind of took over that salacious, type
Rudy
of story.
Giuliani didn't masturbate in front of anybody. He didn't.
I understand, but the story came out right afterwards, and that's what people focused on.
Yeah, but that's not good enough. I have a few theories about this, but let me just heat up my coffee.
Hill Fartman, that's his name, Hill Fartman, tweeted to him, pants on call today or pants off? Let me know. Thumbs up emoji. And someone replied, hey, stop jerking him around. He's one stroke short of genius. It's like, okay.
Well, I'm glad
so we're just
going
to have masturbatory puns now? Is
he won't be. He will not be allowed to forget about this anytime soon.
You don't think?
No.
Oh, not on Twitter. God.
He remains suspended, right? Or is he blown out?
No, he was never fired. Just suspended. I don't know why they haven't made a decision on it. It's funny because, there are some people on here like, we really missed you on CNN on election night because he would have been all over it. Yeah. And I flipped around a lot and I don't think I would have missed anybody that wasn't there. You know, I don't think anybody is really going to CNN to see Jeffrey Toobin talk about the election. I'm sure maybe a handful, but. Really? Is that why you would choose to watch that one? I don't think so.
I don't know. Yeah, it seemed like they all had, their teams put together. They each had a guy that had a big screen that they were pointing at. They didn't need Tubes for that. Maybe he just needed to take this election season off.
Oh, but it's amazing that they have not made a decision on him at all. I don't know what's taking
that just goes to show me that they're going to keep him because just let it die down and he'll pop up before you know it.
Hey, the mention of Rudy Giuliani reminded me, and this one's getting around the internet a lot today, but the interview with the guy who runs Fantasy Island adult books in DVDs.
Yeah.
And the reason it is because they are next door to Four Seasons Landscaping.
Right. Somebody sent us the sign that has the phone number on it and everything. So
yeah, well, Slate actually interviewed him, and I would love to talk to this guy. He sounds like a fucking blast. This guy sounds insane.
You think we're stupid? You think we're fools?
But just his whole brain, it's not political at all. It's just more like the way he described the area where this landscaping company, where his adult bookstore is, and there's a crematorium, reminded me a lot of where the Riff Studios were. It's just kind of in an industrialized area. You know, there's not much foot traffic or anything, which is why this guy was so surprised that it would be there. So I read the story. Maybe we'll get into it tomorrow because I really want to get this guy on. I think he'd be a just kind of a character to talk to. His parents started the store and he took it over. So then I was online looking for reviews of the Fantasy Island bookstore. Uh-huh. You're not gonna believe this. It gets wonderful reviews. Everybody loves this Fantasy Island bookstore. On Google, it's got an average of 4.9 stars out of 5, which I just thought that was really interesting that, you know, first off, almost any business getting good reviews is pretty rare unless they're asking, like, hey, please review us, you know, to help us out. A lot of people just don't unless they're going to bitch about the place. So let's see if I can find one. Like one guy.
It sounds, I don't know, they probably just keep a clean operation there and.
Is that what you look for?
I don't know. Some sex shops, I guess they get a little nasty and they get a little sketchy when you go in there. Of course, the Florida sex shops are always the ones that have crazy things happen to them. We had the girl who tried a dildo out last month.
Oh.
Actually, in Oklahoma, just last week, there was a dude who went into Carly's, which is a sex shop. And then he tried the Auto Blow 3000, took it out of the box, and started banging it. For any of you laymen out there, it's basically a pocket thing, you know. But the Auto Blow comes with some batteries, and it does some work.
Yeah.
And I think you can figure out exactly what the Auto Blow does. Fun fact, we were gifted 3 Auto Blows at Sports Radio.
Technically, the Auto Blow 2.
Oh,
was it the new and improved Auto Blow, which we did an interview for. But that's why
it was the Auto Blow 3000.
Oh, maybe it was. You're right. Okay.
Well, we got 3 of them. Mark immediately took one, brought it in the studio, took it apart, and put it on his head. That was kind of weird. So you destroyed the first one. These are like $300 a piece. The second one, I'm pretty confident that you took home and sold it on eBay, right?
I sold it on eBay. You ever see a name and you just know they're a creep? I saw this guy's name, I'm like, oh, that guy sounds really creepy. Well, first off, he's buying a sex toy off eBay, which just seems really creepy. And then it would have to be sent to a hotel.
He sent it to a hotel.
Yeah.
That's where he had you send it.
Yeah. Yeah. We had to package it up and send it to a hotel in this guy's name. And I don't think he was living at the hotel. I think he was there for work.
I have actual audio of when it got to his hotel room.
Whoa. Check it out. It's a sex machine.
Well, his buddy sounded pumped up about it. And the third one you took.
I took the third one, and I actually used it for a white elephant gift party. Every year we had a Christmas party going for a while. And your standard white elephant. Everybody brings a gift. It's wrapped, and then it just kind of gets traded around, and you end up with somebody's. And there was like a $25 limit or something. And I put a $300 Auto Blow in. But I didn't pay for it. But
so
the funny thing is that there's probably like, I don't know, maybe 30 people at this Christmas party. And it's mostly all of, you know, Kristen's friends who she went to high school with, who she went to college with, and their significant others. And for the most part, everybody knows everybody. We've hung out before. We've spent time, partied together. Well, there was one dude who was kind of the outlier. We knew who he was, but we haven't spent a ton of time with him.
What was he doing there? Was he
like a police officer? Actually, I think he's a prison guard.
Was
he's
dating one of the friends or something? Was he new to the group? Okay.
He's married to one of Kristen's college dance team members and good guy.
Nice.
But I don't know if he really fully understood our humor per se. And he ended up with the Auto Blow 3000. He was very, very embarrassed by it.
Nice job, Brandon.
I'm confident he's had sex with it multiple times.
Really? You think so? Ask him.
$300? I don't know.
Maybe the marriage broke up because of your white elephant gift.
They are still happily married. In fact, this Auto Blow 3000 might have attributed to happiness in the marriage. You never know.
The other creepy story involving public masturbation was this lady, and this led to a conversation Drew and I had off the air. But the lady who was arrested for masturbating next to the dumpster outside of Popeyes in Florida, which... That sentence is just gorgeous, right? Homeless lady.
Wait, can you repeat it for me?
Homeless lady busted masturbating next to a dumpster outside of Popeyes in Clearwater, Florida. I mean, that story just has it all. Drew and I were talking about it. I said, you're not going to believe this. Maybe I'll take heat for it. But I think she was a fairly attractive, homeless-looking person. Did you see her? Did you see what she looked like?
No. I'm trying to find the story.
It's on the Smoking Gun. But, you know, you're already starting at a low bar because it's a homeless woman. But I think she was in her 20s. I'm guessing she's homeless because of meth or some other drugs. But I just, for what the story is, I was surprised how attractive she was. See her?
Oh, yeah. No, she ain't bad.
She got nice blue eyes. And I don't know if she has a meth mouth because her mouth's closed. But she was nude masturbating next to the dumpster outside of Popeyes, which we don't really.
Oh, this is the second time she's been busted for this?
Yeah, which what an odd place to get turned on, right? The dumpster outside of Popeyes.
Ooh, baby, I got Popeyes.
Sorry, I had to play that. I've been hearing that damn commercial that Popeyes is playing, and it has that dude who is walking in just got back from Popeyes, and he walks in with his order, and he just starts singing it, and they turned it into a commercial, and they play it on Adult Swim all the time. So I hear that all the time. It gets stuck in my head to the point where I actually had to go to the full video just to see what this guy does with his Popeyes chicken.
It's kind of like the guy singing about Patty's pie.
I got Popeyes.
That's a good voice.
What we got right here. Ooh.
Should be on American Idol.
First off, we got a box full of fries. Cajun and spice. Oh. And we got a little bit of apple pie. And then we go move to the bigger box. We go move to the bigger box. In the bigger box.
I gotta say though, I'm relieved that you thought that the homeless woman is not that bad for being a homeless woman who masturbated outside of Popeyes.
We got no biscuits after the fries.
Hey, should we call Popeyes or what about the?
We can. Well, I was
the
just
suck blow thing.
That's everything we just talked about. And then did you ever read the interview with the guy? And I'm going to try and set it up with him, the guy that owns the adult shop next to the Four Seasons Landscaping.
Yeah, why don't we call? Why don't we just call?
You want to call? We can call him.
Because he's asking for money. Jacob, he wants money from the Republicans.
Jacob.
Bernie.
Yeah, Bernie is his name.
Oh, there's not a guy named Jacob at the adult bookstore next to Four Seasons Landscaping, where Trump's group spoke?
Well, that's Bernie. I don't know who Jacob is. This guy doesn't really care about money at all.
Wait, I thought they were saying that they lost business.
Oh, that was an employee named Jacob at the Fantasy Island bookstore.
See?
So it's not
I thought he was implying that they were owed money because they had run business off.
Let's see. He said, I was inside. We didn't know what was going on. One of our customers said, hey, there's something happening. It looks kind of crazy out there. And I walked out. We saw all these vehicles pulling in. And I thought they were definitely in the wrong location because we're in an industrial commercial area. I couldn't understand why they would bring something of this caliber to our location because there's no real venue that would support something of this sort. This guy's insistent that they were supposed to go to the Four Seasons Hotel.
Well, that's what everyone said from the first minute.
Yeah.
In fact, that is now pretty much stated as fact.
He said,
I don't know why.
New York Times said no, that it was always going to be there.
So. Well, I can show you a bunch of people who say that it absolutely is the reason. And it's really strange because to believe that has got to be the most warped thinking I could ever imagine saying, it's so embarrassing, the Four Seasons. Since when is the Trump administration easily embarrassed?
No, I know. They're not.
But they would go, oh, this is such a scandal. Oh, we got to find something with Four Seasons. Ah, oh, Four Seasons Landscaping. But what they haven't explained is, because I thought maybe they were trying to, you know, highlight that we're pro small business or something. I mean, why did they have it there?
I don't know.
What did the New York Times say?
There must have been, I didn't read the whole story. It was just mentioned in this one. But Bernie goes on to say that he's like, I have regular customers. You know, they didn't want to get involved. The customers who were there couldn't leave because they couldn't get out. But the Bidenites, as I call them, were yelling back and forth to the Trumpers across the street. They were in my parking lot because there's not much parking around here.
Why are these people yelling at each other? I mean,
they're fucking idiots.
What the fuck is wrong with people? Has there been a poll done on how many people, and I'm not trying to say people should do this or people, you know, shouldn't do this. Or I'm not looking for people to get pissed at me, but I just wonder how many people sort of feel like, you know what, it's just time to go forward. We have not seen any outstanding evidence of any massive amount of votes that need to be thrown out. And I know some people are going to disagree with me, and that's fine.
Well, I mean, it's only been 2 days, so I'm sure there's probably a poll in action right now.
2 days? It's been
Sunday and Monday.
Oh, you mean since they said Pennsylvania was done?
Yeah.
But, I mean, you could see that coming a mile away. Every place was losing votes every 5 minutes.
Until I was not convinced.
Well, I wasn't convinced either, but I'm just watching that every time more votes come, more votes go to Biden in virtually every state, except for Arizona, where Trump got closer. But it was never that close. It never got that close. It wasn't like there was a, you know, there was just like.
That's right.
It was just like there was a last wave or last dump of Biden votes in every state. And slowly but surely, he overtook him. And if he hadn't overtaken a state yet, they would say, yeah, there's like three counties left and everybody there is a Biden voter. So, sure. You know, how could you?
Well,
it just seemed like every explanation, even Fox News. And I watched Fox News along with other stations. And they seem to be suggesting, you know, when they went through the Arizona thing, they said, Trump's not going to win Arizona.
Yeah.
And here's why. And they explained it. And the guy was, you know, I'm sure he felt kind of bad because he was the only one that called it. But it's, as it turns out, did they call Arizona, by the way? Been called?
I don't know if, I don't know. I don't know where it stands now, to tell you the truth. Everything's going to be recounted and... I don't know. The real crime is that these people could not get out of the Fantasy Island bookstore.
Yeah, so let's call the bookstore.
Well, can I read a little bit more of this, what this guy said?
Uh-huh.
So he said that his parking lot was full because of this press conference. So his customers were trying to sneak through the Sunoco to come down the street to get to his business. The pull of the Fantasy Island bookstore is that strong. He also said we had customers from both sides, Republicans and Democrats, but no one from Rudy Giuliani's camp came in. And so the question was, well, have you seen any increased business after this? He said, oh yeah, it's helped me out.
Sweet.
Matter of fact, I knew this was coming. Oh no. If I knew this was coming, I definitely.
He was stocked up.
I would have gotten in touch with a web designer and gotten some silk screen type things just to put a shirt out because my Fantasy Island Facebook page has been blowing up. I'm past 7,000 people commenting on everything that's been going on. I had to order some more stuff and ask the companies if they could physically pick some stuff up at my distributors or actually ask UPS if we could fast track some of it. People in the neighborhood forget about us because we haven't done any major, major advertising. We can never afford advertising like this. This is worldwide.
Wow.
So, I mean, he's benefiting from it.
Yeah.
He said it's
he'll happy to have it talk to us.
Family owned and operated since 1978 by his parents. They started it.
Sweet.
I've been there since I was out of high school, and then I've been back and forth. I went back to school to become an electrician, and then I went out and opened up a few other businesses, pizza places, bulk food stores. And then my father asked me to come back and work, and I've been there ever since. He's 57 now. He said, I was the coolest kid in school. Plus, because his parents owned a adult bookstore,
he
said.
Yeah.
I was the coolest kid in school. Plus, I was cool anyway. Bit of a rock and roller, you know. That's actually kind of a rebel in a certain way. I was a little anti-establishment, and we had fun with it. I had plenty of girlfriends, and, you know, I'm married to my wife for 29 years. Matter of fact, my anniversary was yesterday. And he's the one that gave his dad the name Fantasy Island when he was a kid because they were watching it on TV. And he's like, hey, Dad, why not name it Fantasy Island? And he said, that's it.
How stupid. How absolutely dumb.
And the final question.
I mean, why not name it Tattoo? Tattoo.
Ricardo. So the final question is, hey, what are your best-selling items?
Of course. That's exactly what I wanted to ask him. And
okay,
they are,
I'll save it then because they're really funny.
Oh, no, I want to hear. What are they?
He says, this is how he answers. Oh, goodness. We have things from Dick Rambone to a lubricant called Fuckwater.
What's Dick Rambone?
I don't know. Is that a sex toy, Brandon?
I don't know what that is.
Wait, was Dick Fuckwater?
The lubricant is called Fuckwater, which... Can you imagine the meeting...
Fuckwater?
Can you imagine the meeting at Fuckwater Incorporated when they're like, hey, what should we name her? Super cool lubricant. Well, it's kind of like water.
Yeah, but it's not water, so Fuckwater. I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
That's it!
It looks like Dick Rambone Dick Rambone is like a 14 and a half inch dildo.
Oh, okay. Great. Cool.
Oh, my God. There's a picture of it. Look at the picture of the girl holding it and hugging it. She's about to buy it.
Now, how is she going to get all that in? I don't know. That looks a little tricky.
So you have the lubricant, and he said, to basic normal vibes, 6 to 8 inch vibes, multi-speed, multi-functions, the fleshlight, the main squeeze, and basically we sell all types of harnesses. Yeah, a lot of just normal type vibrating things. Male enhancement pills, female stimulation pills.
Dildos!
And we even sell hand sanitizer because times have changed at the moment. I love this guy!
Well, let's get him on the horn.
Great. Oh, man.
It is late. I don't know if he's going to be working this late, but Brandon, we might run into Jacob.
Adult bookstores stay open later. Generally. They do.
Not only that, but I looked him up, and there might be a cell phone personal number.
Oh.
But we'll try. You want to try the store first, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to get a feel for the store, the employees, what kind of vibe the place has.
Well, I'm intrigued by this Jacob guy.
Yeah, Jacob seemed like he had a hard on about the whole thing.
Oh, well, he's working at
Fantasy Island. Pissed
they
lost business. Maybe they let Jacob go. Oh, I did tell you about the intro I used to use for this, right?
Fantasy Island.
Yeah, is this Bernie?
Yeah. No, Bernie's not in. Can I take a message?
Is this Jacob?
No, Jacob's not in. It's John.
Oh, John, how you doing? It's the Drew and Mike Show calling from Detroit. How you doing, man?
All right.
How's business?
Not bad. Picked up quite a bit.
That's great. I mean, did you ever think you'd be that Trump and his press conference could do so much for a business?
Not at all.
That's wild. Now, were you working when all this was going on, this craziness?
No, I wasn't. I was off that day.
Oh, that's too bad. Maybe we should try. We've got Bernie's home number, so maybe we should try him at home.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks so much. Night. Sounds like you're busy over there, by the way. I hear people in the background.
Yeah, we're here.
I mean, is the store really jamming?
Tonight, a lot more than we've been usually. I mean, ever since this thing started, big publicity.
on a Tuesday. What's
all the racket, though? I mean, I hear people whooping and hollering. They're excited about the Dick Rambone and some of that stuff?
Yeah, everything. they're still talking about what all went on. So.
Oh, I see. By the way, this has got to be a different kind of job. Have you been in this industry for a long time?
23 years.
Wow.
Really? Is this something when you went to your high school guidance counselor, they said, we think you should work with adult toys, or...?
No, I originally started out as a truck driver.
Oh, okay.
And I've been in this store with Bernie for 23 years.
Oh, are you part owner, too?
No, but he basically considers me his assistant. So when he's not around, I handle everything.
I see. And it seems like with the way things are in 2020, people would not look down on a job like this. It's a respected profession these days.
Yeah. Take what you can get, you know?
Absolutely. And it's been a full-time job for you?
Yes, it has.
That's great. Well, what's the strangest thing about working at an adult store like that?
I don't know. I don't really consider it strange. I guess since I've been here so long, it's just a natural thing for me.
Yeah. The clientele, though, I mean, it's really just everyday people, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you get a lot that are like, you know, they're hesitant to come in, but then once they get in here, they realize it's not as bad as it seems. I mean, we're here for everybody. There's a little bit of something for each person, so...
And there's no judgment when a nice-looking woman comes up and has a Dick Rambone in her bag. I mean, she's not judged for that.
We don't question them. I mean, whatever they want to buy, they buy. I mean, everyone has their own taste and preference, and we leave it at that.
John, you're almost acting like after all these years, it's just becoming just another job, and the excitement of working there is maybe wearing off?
Not really. I enjoy it.
Okay.
Well, I like hearing the enthusiasm at Fantasy Island Bookstore because if I was to come in and buy a few butt plugs, I feel like I wouldn't be judged.
No, you wouldn't. You'd be welcome just as well as anyone else. I mean, we're here. I mean, there's like I say, we have something for everyone, and we treat everyone the same with respect. And, you know, it's what we're here for. We're here for everybody.
Is there anything that's on sale right now? Because we have a lot of people in that area who would be interested, I'm sure.
Well, we do have a lot of videos. Our videos start at $3.99, and most stores are a lot more than that. We try to, you know, cater to everybody, give them something that they can afford to buy.
Any titles? DVD or VHS?
No, DVDs. We used to have VHS, no longer.
Are there peep shows? Do you have a peep booth?
Yeah, we have individual viewing booths.
Oh, that's what they're calling? That sounds so too technical. Can't we just call them peep booths?
No, no. Individual viewing booth is classier, I think.
Okay.
It takes
the danger out of it.
Do you have those things, the booths where there's actually a woman on the other side, she's live, and you got a phone you pick up?
No, we have no live entertainment. It's all videos.
Hmm. Oh, I see.
I was saying earlier that I was looking,
are classy.
I was looking through your Google reviews. You guys have an incredible high rating for Google reviews. I was very proud for you. Did you know that?
What's that?
Your Google reviews. You average 4.9 stars out of 5.
Yeah, like I said, we picked up. I mean, we keep the place pretty well clean here. We have it smelling good, so when people come in, they don't think it's just another hole in the wall. It's been family-owned for over 30 years.
That's great.
One of the reviews said that there's glory holes there.
No, we have none.
Okay, so that's I'm not joking.
That went out years ago because it caused so many problems. So we try to keep this down where, you know, everyone's safe and they don't have to worry.
One bad apple. One bad apple.
Well, there was a time.
I want me some glory hole.
There was a time when glory holes were kind of chic and they were accepted, and I think that time has passed. So I appreciate you guys.
For yourself.
Yeah. And the individual viewing booths, you know, I've been reading the reviews, and it sounds like there's no semen left behind or anything like that. They're all clean, and it's...
We keep up. When customers leave, we always come back, sweep them out, mop them, and everything else, and sanitize them. We keep everything pretty well clean.
That's great.
Do you have to wear a mask?
Yes, we do. That's mandatory. So.
And customers have to wear masks as well.
Sure.
I see.
And we have a plastic divider up around our counter. Hey. So it's,
Now, do you ever have a problem with the people that don't want to wear a mask?
No, no one. Everyone's been conforming to our, you know, the rules and regulations. What's mandatory, and no one questions us. So, I mean,
well, that's good to hear.
Sometimes, they'll come in not realizing they need one, but when we tell them they have to have a mask, they say no problem. They go out. They keep it's always in their vehicle or whatever. So.
Well, I tell you, you guys,
you hand out ball gags in case someone doesn't have one.
No.
It's really sounds like you have a very classy clientele, and that the reviews seem to indicate that as well.
Yeah, we have a lot of regulars that have been coming back. I mean, since, like I said, I've been here 23 years, and get a lot of regulars still come back. So, I mean,
I've heard people say, some people say that the regulars are really the heart of Fantasy Island Bookstore.
Yes, they are, because when they're here, it draws more customers in once they see that we have, you know, cars in the lot and that there's somebody here.
No, we have regular listeners, too, and I can't say, I mean, where would we be without our regular listeners? And, you know, it's great to know that you have regulars at Fantasy Island Bookstore. Do they come in 3 or 4 times a week?
Oh, sure. There's some that come in every day.
Wow, that's fantastic.
It's just like a little routine for them. I mean, they might come in maybe for 10 or 15 minutes, like on their way to work, on their way home. We got other ones that can stay here for, hour or two sometimes.
Wow. Now, do you have a fountain or a bar there where people can hang out?
No, we don't. No.
You don't. I see. So they just like to go to the booths and view the materials continuously.
Yeah, it's like once you walk in, we have our our novelties on the one wall and our videos on the other, and then the viewing booths are in the back of the store.
Have you ever had someone come in and ask for an item, and you're like, no, we don't care, and then they just get really bummed and upset?
No, they don't get upset. I mean, because we have a local distributor, and we always tell them if it's something that they're looking for, we contact our distributor, and if they have it, we can usually have it the same day or, you know, within that week for them.
No, that's good.
Well, and the $3.99 titles that you guys have on sale, which, again, that's something that keeps regulars coming in. Any titles in particular that you guys are having great luck with?
No. Like a lot of the Orientals, that goes real good. And some of the freaky stuff like the midgets and stuff like that, that all goes out pretty quick.
Yeah, Asian women do seem to be a real thing.
I remember when Blockbuster was a thing, I'd go in and it'd be like, hey, this is Bill's selection for the month. I mean, you don't have, do you do like John's selection for the month and Jacob's selection for the month?
No, we don't.
Oh. Why don't you add that?
I think that's a great feature.
Ask Bernie if you could start doing that.
Well, I could talk to him. I mean, hey, all suggestions are welcome. Yeah. I mean, you never know. I mean, a lot of things are suggested. And
I want to make sure your voice is heard, John.
Pardon?
I want to make sure your voice is heard.
What makes my voice which?
I want to make sure your voice is heard. What you like, it's some attention there.
Yeah, if I see John's pick of the week, you know, I'm and you know, and chances are
you want to stop in and see what it is. So
yeah.
I have a quick question. I just want to know if you have one title. It's what's it called? Hold on. Can you help me out? What's this one called?
It's called Nude and Rude, directed by Carl Stanion.
Oh, that's a good movie.
We don't have any particular titles. When we get our videos in, they just send us a bulk supply of videos,
unlabeled. That's interesting.
When we bring our videos in, we don't put them in our computer or our system under titles. We just log in that we have, you know, so many videos, and as we sell them, we just subtract them from our inventory. So
That's a great process. I appreciate that.
I mean, we do keep them categorized, though, like, you know, the transsexuals, the gay, the black, and lesbians and stuff like that. Everything's, you know, in a certain section.
Wait, are you telling me there's no Asian category?
Well, we do have that's mixed in with the other ones too, though.
Do you ever get a movie and you look at it and it's like, well, it's a black transsexual. And how do you decide? Does it go with the transsexuals or the blacks, or is there a special black transsexual one?
Yeah, filing is a real problem.
Wherever the transsexuals are all together, so it's
okay. So that supersedes the ethnicity. Okay.
But, I mean, you may not have titles, but if somebody came in and said, you know, I really am into BBC porn, you'd be able to help them.
Well, more or less, yes.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, well, John, boy, it's very informative and quite a system you got over there and quite a business, too. And 23 years is something you're proud of.
Glad you're succeeding, seriously.
Hopefully, maybe 25 years, you get a watch or something, right?
Yeah, tell Bernie.
I get treated real well here. I mean, that's why I'm still here. So.
Well, that's why you have so many regulars. It's the class, yeah. I think, of Fantasy Island Bookstore. Thank you so much, John.
You're quite welcome, and you have a good night or evening, morning, or whatever you're at.
Yeah. Well, we sure appreciate it, and our audience does, too.
Not a problem.
You have a great night. Bye-bye.
All right, John. Thank you.
All right, there's John, 23 years
old. It was always my dream to work in a porn store.
That's, nice guy.
Yeah, Fantasy Island Bookstore. He's been at 23 years. He and Bernie are, I mean, you can't separate
know that
these guys.
Existed.
He's fully vested into the pension plan there.
That is a friendship
been up there.
That you would almost have to go to the crowbar stand at the Vince Lombardi rest stop to separate those two guys. The friendship. That's how tight they are. And Bernie takes care of him. He's his assistant. He's like his right man hand or whatever.
Right hand arm man.
Yeah.
Silly little rabbit.
Should we try Bernie at home?
We can. Let me read this one review. This is from Gia. She writes, "Great visit. Meeting up with another guy I met from a personal ad, and I went into the booth, and he came in right behind me. Almost too perfect of timing. I did what I promised, and he just left. I thought it was a little rude, but then as I was leaving, I realized that the right guy just showed up. Uh-oh. I went back in, though. Why not?
Oh, how does that?
Well, except for the guy that just got there and doesn't know about the first guy.
Well, if, you know, I would say it would probably be rude for her to make out with him. But other than that, you know, and how unfortunate, too, if things are getting really heavy and this guy's really into her and she won't kiss him because she's trying to be classy.
I would like to make a romance inside of her.
Starts making out. She's like, something's weird.
That reminds me of a baseball story.
Oh, do tell. Do share.
Hey, this tastes like shit.
We had a baseball party in college called a week bender. And what it meant was essentially the party started about 5 o'clock on Friday and it went all weekend. It never stopped. It stopped at like, you know, I don't know, 7 o'clock Sunday morning or something. And behavior became very aberrant.
It's the week bender.
Yeah.
Week bend.
And it became known, it's a delicate story. It became known that someone, and when I say someone,
I think I know this story.
Yeah, someone had actually been involved in on the receiving end of oral sex in one of the back rooms. And just as he was telling us the story, the woman was seen making out with our shortstop.
Gross.
And he heard about that for quite a while.
As he should.
Yeah, I think he's still hearing about it, I'm pretty sure.
Hey, how did Bill taste?
But the nice thing was it was the second baseman and the shortstop.
Oh,
so
well,
it was the double play combination, and probably made them closer.
I'm sure Tram and Lou did the same thing.
Yeah, no, they did. I think that's been pretty well verified. It's just not something people talk about. You know, what was the adult store where the guy went in and used the suck blow? What is it called? The
auto blow.
Auto blow.
Yeah.
And he used it. He took his pants off, used the auto blow, apparently blew up in the auto blow, and then put it back on the shelf.
No, you can't. Come on, you can't do that.
Did you get a number for that place, Brandon?
Yeah, that one. That one's listed. That's gross. I don't know why people want to try to use these items in the store.
I want to make sure, first of all, that they've taken it off the shelf. And second of all, that's...
Did they call the health department?
Did they call the cops? I mean, what happened?
Was he arrested? Do you know? What's
We've got a lot of clientele there, too. We've got a lot of our listeners who are in that area, and they need to know.
What's the rest of the story?
Yes, he was arrested. I think that was on Smoking Gun, too. Why does Smoking Gun have all these sex shop
stories?
Smoking
Gun, it's a great site.
Yeah, I haven't been going there in a while until just recently, but I thought Brandon sent a phone number for them.
Yep.
Yeah, he just pulled one. I'm trying to think of a song.
We had the auto blow.
Didn't
we have a few auto blows?
Yeah, we talked about it when you were upstairs taking a dump.
Okay.
That's the guy.
I was getting coffee.
That guy couldn't fill up an auto blow.
Let me see.
Look at him.
This guy looks like he'd say this.
If you vote for me, all of your wildest dreams will come true.
But he's 5 foot five and maybe 90 pounds.
Looks like Pedro.
Yeah, that's... I wouldn't expect him to be accused of that.
He's only 23.
She saw him on a security monitor putting his penis into the toy and thrusting his hips into it before putting it back on the shelf. The employee hit the alarm inside the shop.
How many seeds must the wife
seeds
sail before she sleeps in the sand? Yes, and how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're full?
Yep, the old auto blow.
Nice headline, by the way. Man who tried out sex toy.
Carly's, how may I help you?
I say Kylie?
Carly's.
Oh, okay. Hi, this is the Drew and Mike show calling from Detroit, and we were just trying to follow up on the incident with the auto blow guy, and because some people were saying some things that I thought were very unflattering, and we felt that it was unfair to you guys, and you guys hit the alarm, and it's been taken care of, correct?
Yeah, you're talking about the guy that used it?
Yeah, he was thrusting his hips, I guess, into the auto blow in the store.
What an animal.
Yeah. I wasn't here that night, but I saw the video.
Oh, you saw there's a video of it? Okay, is that on the internet yet?
No, not that I know of. How do y'all know about it?
Oh, it got a little attention.
The New York Daily News.
I mean, we're in Detroit doing a show, and we heard about it. But did he actually, I mean, was he, so he was really into the auto blow.
I mean, he didn't do it for very long because, I mean, she kind of, when she was trying to hit the alarm button, it made a noise and he stopped right away.
Well, probably made him finish.
when you got to work the next day, did you immediately ask, is there a security video? Because I'd like to see it immediately.
No, she actually sent it out like that night. You know, the funniest thing and the dumb part on him?
What?
Is that he filled out an application, so he had all his information before he did it.
Wow, so that shows how spontaneous it was.
Yeah.
I mean, if anybody's interested in him, that would be nice to know. He's that spontaneous, I suppose.
Did he get the job?
Yeah, did he get hired?
No, he did not.
Yeah, maybe he thought that was part of the job, was trying out all the products.
Is the auto blow, is that a popular product?
Yeah, I mean, I've sold quite a few of them.
Have you really?
Yeah.
And what are its selling points? Does it work?
Some people just come in and know that they want that. Because, I mean, really, it's really bulky. I would think it'd be too much.
Is it
Drew, take a look at the computer.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
This is what it does when you stick your member inside of it.
That looks pretty good.
It
does work.
How lazy do you have to be to need that?
I know, right?
Don't you think?
Hey, we have hands-free ones, too, like ones that talk to you and everything.
Why?
Really? You wouldn't happen to have one there you could play the audio from, do you, so we can hear what it says?
Not at the moment.
What is this? Okay. Well, I mean, it might be online.
Have you worked there a long time?
A year and a half.
Is this a sort of an in-between job, or is it a career?
No, it's just a, you know, just really just a part-time job, just something to do.
You must have some
Get
great
out of the house.
You must have some great stories, though.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Anything you can share with us besides the auto blow guy?
I mean, I get a lot of prank calls more than anything.
Oh, boy.
Are any of them people, ever funny?
No, not really. Yeah, well, we had some teenagers call one time, and then we started fucking with them back.
Sweet.
It was funny.
Is the business doing well?
Yeah.
So people, this didn't really hurt the business's auto blow incident too much.
Oh, no.
It probably is good for business, yeah, I would think.
Now that they know they're there.
I mean, I don't know if too many people know about it. I don't even know how y'all know about it.
Are you guys at Briscoe's RV and Fun Park?
Yeah.
So what, I mean, is that like in a...
Well, probably a lot of children there who will learn where to go when they're older.
But it sounds like it's off, no pun intended, but off the beaten path.
Yeah, it is. It's right before Valley Brook, which is... not a good place to be.
Mark, look at their Google reviews. 4.4, that's 4. Pretty good. Have you read your Google reviews?
Check them out. Not lately.
No?
Nope.
I mean, what do people say about Carly's? Do they, I mean, when they say something good or when they say something bad, what are typically would be the comments?
A lot of people just like our prices, really, and our good. We have quite a good selection of things. We have lots of stuff in here.
Sweet.
Well, the most recent one said friendly staff, and it's a really great place to go. So they clearly worked with you.
May have.
Do you get a discount on stuff if you just, you know, happen to want something really bad?
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Employee discount?
Yeah, that's nice.
Any good reviews there, Mark, that are...
Let's see. Friendly and helpful with everything in stock, but they don't like it when you try on clothes too much.
Well, I wouldn't
right
like that.
Now we don't, just because of COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
I think a lot of places are like that right now.
Oh, here's the next one. Oh, boy. Okay, brace yourself. The staff can be annoyed if asked questions, and their attitude is unnecessary because they think they have a PhD in adult novelties. They have a small selection...
from Ashley.
That's Megan.
You don't work here anymore.
They have a small selection of lingerie, but still cute. Prices are too high for the amount and quality you are buying. Jeez. But the one right after that, very helpful with products. Prices are great as well. So,
I didn't realize that people price shop that much on adult toys.
Well, they can be expensive.
Oh, yeah. They'll be like, I can get that on Amazon cheaper.
But then
they don't want it delivered to their house.
What is the most expensive thing in the store? If I was just like, I got to have the best.
I mean, our most expensive thing is this. It's like half a body. It's just like the ass and the legs.
Really?
And it's discounted, okay?
Oh,
it's normally
nice.
Like 800, but it's discounted to 400 right now.
Wow.
Thank God that guy didn't try that one out.
We also have a power banger. That's 500.
Power banger?
What's a power banger? Now, how does that work exactly?
That sounds a little self-explanatory.
I mean, you've probably seen them.
Not really. Can you bring it up on the screen, Mark, the power banger?
Sure, why not?
Is anyone the staff used the power banger? Have you had any feedback on it?
No, I mean, I had a guy come in and buy it for his girlfriend.
Hot.
Yeah, he wanted. Wow. She wanted that, and he got it.
Was he not? Was it a thing where he wasn't getting the job done, or he just likes watching? Do you think?
I guess he just. I mean, he just really said his girlfriend wanted it. So
yeah, right. He's probably. Oh my God! He's Whoa. Probably using. Look at that thing!
Wow. Look at that! Wow. Oh my God! That's.
It looks very industrial.
Yeah, it does. It's kind of frightening.
Yeah.
And it goes up to 195 strokes a minute.
Wait, it goes pretty fast.
Now, the one that we're looking at is $459.95. It's not as good as the one you guys have, then. Or, wait, did you say the power banger?
Is it made by Kink?
Yeah, yeah.
Kink. Yeah. The Vacu-Lock, yeah.
That's about... Oh, it's got the Vacu-Lock.
Oh.
That looks to me like it could service three women at once. Doesn't it, Mark?
No, right. No. That picture is just showing how it's adjustable.
I see.
The angle is adjustable. Because, you know, you want to mix things up every once in a while.
Yeah, I didn't know that much about the Don Johnson Kink super banger.
It's a sex machine!
Power banger.
Don Johnson. Now, do you have a celebrity-endorsed products like Farrah Abraham? I know she did a mold of herself. Do you have those mold ones?
Oh, yeah, the porn star. Yeah, we have strokers that are molded to porn stars or fleshlight girls.
What's the top seller with that?
Really, Sasha Grey. Oh. Like, a lot of people like Sasha Grey.
Oh, we had a really bad interview with her. Didn't we?
No, I don't think we did.
No.
You're thinking of Tara Patrick.
Oh, you're right.
Do you have anything by Tara Patrick?
No.
This is probably in the bargain bin.
I, you know, that mold thing, I don't know, it doesn't really appeal to me that much for some reason.
I mean, they're all the same, really.
You sound a little jaded from working here.
Well, you'd be a great correspondent for our show if we had questions on anything in this topic. If you don't mind, if we call you back sometime.
Sure.
Cool. All it's right. The Drew and Mike Show in Detroit.
You sounded really enthusiastic about that.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Cool. Well, see, this could become a career.
I guess.
You speak with great authority. What were you doing? Was your last job before this?
I waited tables for like 8 years.
Wow, oh, boy.
Well, this has got to be better than that, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
No, wait, we just got a little message. Someone was wondering what you look like.
Oh gosh.
I know. She sounds...
Average girl, blonde hair, blue eyes.
Oh, don't sell yourself short. How tall are you?
Blonde hair, blue eyes sounds...
5'5".
She sounds hot.
This person wants to know how old you are.
30.
Oh.
That's a great age.
It's a really good age.
Wait. You sound very skeptical about that.
Hitting 30 is like a milestone in your life, and you're just like, oh, my God, I'm old now, but I'm not.
Are you? Do you have kids?
Yes.
How old are they?
I have a 12-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 6-year-old.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. That's got to be intense.
Are you done?
Oh, I'm done, definitely.
Okay, yikes.
Are you with the father?
Yes.
Oh, you are. Good for you.
Yeah.
Then you got nothing to
worry about. All the same dad. Yep.
All three of them?
Yeah. All have the same dad, yeah.
Wow, this is incredible. What's the chance of that?
Highly unlikely these days.
Wow. Well, listen, I appreciate your willingness to be our future correspondent in questions of this nature, and you've been very kind. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. No problem.
And our best to all the folks at Carly's.
Okay.
And I hope hope you don't have any more auto blow incidents.
Wait, do we ever,
I know.
Do we ever,
right?
Do we ever find out, like, what happened to that actual auto blow?
Oh, it got disposed of.
Now, are you able to collect money from the supplier for that, or is that just something you guys have to eat?
You know, I'm not sure if they did tell the warehouse or not.
I don't know why I'm interested in how the accounting of that issue works. I think
they've been through it before with something else.
Well, anyway, you have
a loss.
You have a great night, and good luck with your little ones.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
you
thank
too.
You. Bye.
Bye.
Carly, 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 Carly.
Do we ever get her name?
3612. No, but I recognize that voice anywhere.
Carly, 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 Carly. Carly.
You're not going to believe this, but the Power Banger has its own YouTube video. Would you like to learn more?
Yeah, sure.
It's really short. Let's see.
Wow, that thing is...
See, it's got four sturdy suction cups to keep it in place.
Yeah.
Oh, no audio on this thing. Okay. Simply attach this. I'd like that. In case you don't know how to put the suction cups on, you can go to YouTube and check it out. Universal adapter. It's a power cord. This thing's going to scare me.
Yeah, there's a whole category of stuff like this on...
An adapter.
on some of the websites, like the Pornhub websites and stuff like that. And... A lot of it comes with girls who are tied up and can't move, so it just keeps pounding. I mean, so I've read.
What are you looking at, Brandon?
Are you serious?
I'm worried about you.
No, this is a very standard category.
Sounds like you should get a job at the Fantasy Island, because you can categorize everything.
Look, and I'm gonna try to mute it so I don't have to hit the crystal porn alert.
That's
but
weird.
There's a ton of stuff like this.
That's fucking weird, man. I'm sorry.
Here, where the women just cannot move. They are tied up, and the machine basically gets to do whatever it wants to do.
Oh, my.
And they can't move.
Look at that. Wait, jerk off with random teens. The fuck is that?
It's an ad.
No credit card needed. Okay. No bullshit.
I need to be off the site. I think I'm going to freak out.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's all right.
But yeah, you can actually, you can
I'm
probably
just a little porned out
with those sex machines at Power Banger. I'm sure you can actually attach the what was that, the Thunderbone, or what was the name of the?
I'm just laughing
that big one.
I'm just laughing that Drew's porned out.
I am. I swear to God.
And you're thinking of Dick Rambone.
Dick Rambone. Sorry. You can attach that to the sex machine.
Oh, great.
So I've read.
I think with all the anatomical information here, it's probably a good time to segue to the vaccine.
Which, oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happened to Pfizer stock in the last couple of days?
Oh, I'm sure it's skyrocketed. A lot of those biotech, although this, a lot of the biotechs were up, and then they kind of went back down. Eli Lilly went up today because that was approved for a therapeutic.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see, what am I looking for, Pfizer?
You know, it was funny, as I was watching this story today, they're talking about the vaccine, and they're like, yeah, we've got about 350 million, you know, vaccines. And I'm thinking, oh, that's perfect. We got about 350 billion people. And then it dawned on me that the rest of the world needs it
million,
too.
Yeah.
But then they described how it has to be refrigerated, and that, you know, to distribute in the United States would be difficult enough. So it sounds like we're just going to have to take all 350 doses, and the rest of the world will get whatever's left.
Know, don't you have to do a bunch of steps too? Isn't it not just a one-hit process?
Two.
You have to come back a month later.
28 days, yeah.
But there's two doses, correct?
Yeah, one, and then you come back 28 days.
Yeah.
So at stock
and refrigeration
price,
is an issue.
It was at $36.40, and then it was announced, and then it jumped up to $41.92. But it was down today. So
you know they're giving kids vaccines everywhere that eat their frickin' cerebral cortex.
You know, the part that I couldn't stop thinking about was that, you know, they start getting into the business that, hey, there's 25 million doses already, and that's perfect because we need to take care of first responders starting in a couple weeks. And by December, the first responders will be done. And all I could think of was all the weasels, the weasel patrol that will call themselves first responders
just
and
like
try
all
to
the,
get them first.
Just like everybody that claimed their job was essential.
Yes, exactly.
Including podcasters.
We had... Yes, there was that.
You're very essential.
I had so many emails from people when I brought that up, and they said, yeah, I'm quote unquote essential, and I have a state job, and I come to work, and I play with my phone all day.
Yeah.
No, it's a joke.
Well, and anybody who's self-employed would view their job as being essential.
I'm telling you, I so want a forensic accountant to get into who is getting these, with the weasel patrol that will try to get into that first group of responders.
Yeah.
To get that first.
I don't blame them.
I don't blame them either.
I would think all the pro sports leagues and the NCAA would deem themselves to be first responders, right? Yeah,
probably
so,
will.
So we can all watch our games.
That's what I mean. I'm wondering, okay, who's going to be pulling stuff? Because people are always pulling this shit. And then, can you go to GMA at 7:06?
Sure. Yeah, you know...
The Bachelorette's on tonight.
Yeah, it looks like she's in a very intense discussion with Chris Harrison.
Well, the first pinch-hit Bachelorette ever, Tasia, appearing on the show, apparently.
What time on GMA?
7:06. I want forensic accounting on hero vetting, because they call this woman a hero, and I don't know, I just wasn't really sold on her being a hero.
I'm intrigued.
I mean, I feel like the word hero sometimes gets used very loosely, and I'm not trying to say that she's not a good person or anything, but I just want to see what you guys think.
What's the story? Is it about...
It's about the vaccine.
Okay.
And if she's a hero, I want her to get her due.
Is she part of the husband and wife team that made the vaccine?
No.
That story's being pushed pretty heavily.
I want the a ticker tape parade for this hero. I mean, I like heroes to get their due. I just wasn't sure she was a hero.
709.
I hate that guy, by the way. That expert.
Why?
I don't know. He's just a real dick sometimes.
I just feel like Stephanopoulos has one foot out of the door for Jeopardy.
I know.
Yeah, he's trying to get Trebek's gig.
How dare he start angling for Trebek's gig? He just died.
I know. It should be like the Supreme Court. You know, when some people push for it, they're immediately disqualified.
Yeah, I want him disqualified. And by the way, half the country does not like him.
I mean, Trebek's body's still warm. Show some respect for...
You can just hit play there. This is all good stuff, I guess. It's right around
vaccine
here.
Vaccine is two doses, 3 weeks apart.
So this in the podcast.
It has to be stored well below freezing.
Yeah.
A huge challenge
in the podcast.
For shipping companies and local pharmacies.
Your CVS's, your Walgreens...
They do have solutions in place already.
Nice echo on your Zoom.
Not going to help if just a big box.
You don't have a closet in that giant
nice
house.
Finding the proper room.
Pfizer has set up 350 large freezers to store millions of doses of the vaccine. Once the government gives the okay, the company says that chartered flights will rush vaccines across the U.S. within 3 days.
Yeah, because you can't go any further. Or it'll be unrefrigerated.
Height of shipping season for the holidays. Dr. Victoria Smith is one of the heroes who helped get us here. She agreed to join the human trials and says she is happy to help bring an end to the pandemic.
Listen to this.
Was an African-American female, knowing that this disease was affecting African-Americans and people of color disproportionately, I also wanted to be part of the race to a cure, or not so much
Did
a cure,
but something. Did anyone order a hero?
Prevent COVID-19.
Okay, I just want to examine her as a hero. Was there a shortage? I mean, did we need specific people? Was there only just a few people who would volunteer for the trials?
They did want more minority participation.
And no one would volunteer for this?
She's
the one of the few that would?
Well, there is a slight distrust of the government vaccinating certain ethnicities because of what's happened in the past, say with Tuskegee.
Really?
I'm just saying.
Give me a break.
I don't think she's a hero because of it. And she also said there was the difference in ethnicities, you know, because in the beginning of COVID, a lot of black people got it more percentage-wise, but that is all evened out now. Did you know that?
No, yeah, I know.
It was all evened
out. And all
we
heard about is how, oh, yeah, more racism. Even this pandemic's racist.
Yeah, because the virus is going... where are the black people at? Where are the Asians at?
I just thought calling a volunteer for
a hero is a little
hero,
it's ludicrous.
I mean, honestly, and it's then ludicrous. she gives a little rap where yes, I am a hero, and here's why I wanted to be a hero.
Nice humility.
And I don't know. I just found myself not feeling right after that piece.
No, that's pretty stupid. Over.
They called her a hero, and then she accepted that she's a hero, and I was like, no, I am not calling you one, and I wouldn't accept it either.
You're not a hero for being in a trial.
No, because honestly, first of all, don't they pay people to be in trials?
I don't know if they paid them, but yeah, a lot of times they will.
You don't think they paid these people?
I don't know if they...
I know a guy who used to do very dangerous trials, like involved radiation and stuff.
But a lot, yeah.
He was a real, load. He was a huge load.
He played shortstop?
Like, I don't care if I get radiated too much. I need money.
Well,
he played outfield.
It's a hero. Well, he played outfield.
Wasn't the other thing that the Pfizer people have come out?
He was not a Puglisi twin.
Wasn't that one of those things that the Pfizer people came out and said, yeah, we actually were a part of Operation Warp Speed? Because that seems to be, people are arguing over it.
Okay, why aren't they using Warp Speed's freezers then? Why are they shipping it all in?
What are we arguing about?
So the head of Pfizer in all his interviews said we're not part of Operation Warp Speed.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was interesting because, you know, for all this bitching that they didn't do it before the election on purpose and it almost sounded like they were saying, look, we did it whenever we damn well pleased because it's our money. Mm-hmm. Nobody gave us money. And yeah, we're not part of this operation. And honestly, what bothers me about this is this idea that the president should get credit for a vaccine. I mean, they didn't take any government money.
Yeah.
So why would he?
That's right.
Why would this be to his credit? And this whole accusation, because Don Trump Jr. is just going crazy on Twitter, like, "Oh, look at this! This is another conspiracy to fuck my dad over." And
that doesn't sound like him.
No, not at all. But they made it on their own time with their own money. Do they owe it to the current president to announce it right before the election?
I don't know, but if they were holding it back, it's kind of stupid too.
Well, they said they were not holding it back. They said it's very recent, it would have to be if that's, you know, if they just were able to announce it, but I just don't even know if it's really their responsibility to announce it right before the election because it had nothing to do with the president.
Well, I mean, people are going to disagree with that.
No, I'm sure they are, but they didn't. They're not part of Project Warp Speed. They didn't take government money. I just don't know why this is really a real argument. Mm-hmm. Put it that way. Now, if they intentionally tried to fuck Trump, I just don't even feel like that's real because they don't owe him anything.
Well, why would they care to do that anyway? I mean, to what benefit?
Well, it's very possible that they could have. I'm not saying that they didn't or they couldn't have. I'm just saying I just don't like the whole discussion because, first of all, you know, they're getting it out as fast as they can. I mean, they're not delaying this thing, I don't think. I mean, who knows? I mean, there's so many conspiracy theories right now. It kind of makes me crazy. Mm-hmm. I just didn't feel like it was – I feel like presidents – and I'm not talking about Trump. I'm talking about all presidents – take too much credit for shit that they don't deserve credit for. It's like, you know, thanks for the tax cut, president. You know, no. It's not your money.
Yeah.
It's my money. And I give you too much of it as it is. So I'm not thanking a I just don't like this idea of thanking politicians for things that they don't do.
Well,
or that they should do or that they're paid to do.
And this really wants to be this is really splitting hairs. But yeah, they did not, like you said, they did not take money from our government, unlike, you know, say Moderna and a couple. And I think I don't know if Johnson & Johnson did or not. Their participation with Operation Warp Speed is, yeah, we'll sell you 100 million doses at a really low price.
Well, frankly,
which is great. I mean, I don't care.
I think what they're doing.
I don't care. I just want it in the market.
Is they're helping us get through something that really fucking blows. I mean, this is the worst thing that's happened in this country for a long, long time. And the fact that they have solved
that's
it
right.
to suddenly start saying, you fucked
it's,
over the president.
Who cares?
It is just, I just don't great, like it. It just bothers me.
It's a great thing, period. If they want to take credit for it and it gets them off, fine.
I mean, fine. I would not like it.
Period.
If Pfizer had a meeting and said, let's wait a couple of weeks until this election's over, this might help Trump, and we don't want to do that. I don't like that either. But frankly, I wish there was just more focus on the fact that we're getting a fucking vaccine for this thing that's 90%, and it's great, and it's good, and I just hate that everything has to turn into politics, even a vaccine, even a pandemic. And, you know, again, right before the show, I turn it Inside Edition because Inside
Edition.
Can
I add one more thing that one of my nerd friends sent me who likes to read these reports and stuff?
I don't know. These reports are terribly fascinating, but...
And this person is not necessarily a fan of Trump, but he said the trial was originally designed to provide this data, the interim data, final data will be months away, after 32 patients, but the interim data was presented after was for 94 cases. It's pretty odd to wait on data for three times as many patients that was planned. Not necessarily.
I'm not a fan.
Not necessarily bad, just odd.
Who is this from?
A doctor friend of mine.
But I mean, where's the information from?
From reading the their data report.
Well, is it possible that someone?
It's very possible.
Someone
he's
else could read it.
It
and say the exact opposite thing.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
So I mean, that's what I mean. I feel like I'm left in Nowhereville every time because. Well, this side says this, that side says that.
All that matters is that this is a very good thing, that it's 90% effective. And then Russia came out today and said, hey, by the way, that one that we put out is 90% effective too, so there. Can you believe that? So why didn't you tell us that before?
So I guess they don't have any COVID over there. They're vaccinating everyone successfully?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, great. Well, there was another thing that came up today that was equally, you know, and again, I'm just, all I want to say is that the vaccine is a fucking great thing. It's better than we ever dreamed of.
Yep.
And I don't know. Maybe they did hold it for 96 days longer than they should have. I don't fucking know. But I just am so tired of the fact that all of this becomes sucked into this horrible vortex of politics. And they did it again today when they were talking about. Oh, I got to find this. It's related to the fraud related accusations, and this really has nothing to do with the accusations or whether it was or wasn't, but they were just referring to the prosecutors involved in prosecuting fraud and that the Trump appointed prosecutors, and I'm just finding myself continually going, you know, it seems that nothing, facts never matter. Because the judge is blue or the judge is red, the prosecutor's blue or the prosecutor's red, and it's like no one ever does anything because it's the right thing. They just do it because they're blue or red.
Well, I don't know.
I just find it incredibly annoying to constantly be told that
Bill Barr is appointed.
Person is blue or red, and that's why they do things. Not because it's the right thing to do, or because it helps the most people, or because they want to vaccinate the country and get us through COVID, but they don't want this red president to get credit. It's like, it drives me fucking crazy.
Yeah, if he wants, he can take all the credit.
But this is how it's reported.
Well, you know, they are in charge of the executive branch, and that's part of the...
No, I understand that. So I do. I fully understand that. And sometimes they would say, an Obama appointed judge. It's like, sure. So what's the point of having a judge if they're just blue or red? Why don't we just call them blue or red and just we'll go. We don't even have to have the prosecutor. We'll just say what blue or red would want and rule it that way.
Well, it's how they interpret the law. But they don't rule like that. And you're gonna. I think you've seen it a little bit today with the Affordable Care Act in front of the Supreme Court. It looks like it's going to be upheld. As of right now, that's what people
are saying. Wait, by all those red Supreme Court justices?
Yeah, by that gang rapist, Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah, he was the big voice.
And I mean, we've been... Look at what the country put these people through because they would do this, and they would end health care. And I mean, that's... You know, honestly, when I was watching...
Are you a gang rapist?
The Amy Coney... Coney Barrett?
Yeah, the notorious AC.
Coney is in Coney Island?
Yeah.
Why does it suddenly seem so hard for me to remember that name? Anyway, when all this conversation is, you realize that you'll be putting 20 million people out of health care. I mean, that was all I heard for that entire three-week period. She's going to take 20 million people.
Those hearings are like political theater. You know
I know,
this.
But it's
know
fucking this. Tiring, and people don't, believe it.
Don't pay attention to it. Do most people believe it, though?
Yeah, I think they do. Okay. I think. Well, look at the protests for Kavanaugh. Look at how the country went ape shit over that guy.
I do think Kavanaugh is a little different because of his demeanor.
Are you a gang rapist?
Well, if somebody puts you on trial in front of the country for gang raping women at high school parties, I mean, I think his demeanor was pretty crazy, but well, I think I would go crazy.
Well, that's why you're not a justice.
Well, but a human being accused of gang raping women when they're 17 years old and raping a 15-year-old who there are no witnesses for whatsoever, and there were none. Her friend was the person who I thought, well, this is going to fall on the friend that she was with. The friend said, I don't remember anything like it. Nothing.
Yeah, but sometimes,
I never met Judge Kavanaugh.
I agree with all that, but instead of – you didn't think his hearing was a little weird?
You think he
reacted totally appropriate?
I think that he probably...
I drank beer with my friends.
I think
Sometimes I had too many beers.
I think he probably responded the way he was told to respond, or it was suggested, look, you got to come back hard on this. I mean, look at how galvanized...
There used to be decorum with these justices and with leaders of our country, and that is just so fucking wrong.
I don't
think
he had a choice. He had to go back. He was being...
Okay.
He was convicted of rape without anything. I mean, he was the New York Times front page gang rapist. You know, this girl who, by the way, was later determined had zero credibility. In fact, she was a huge liar. And the vetting for her was, oh, Michael Avenatti vetted her because he said he did. That's all it was. I mean, I hate even talking about it. I'm just so exhausted by these fucking topics because... You know, it's all blue, red, blue thinks, red thinks, and it's like you can't even talk reasonably about it because when you tell both sides, you make more people mad. More people get mad. And it's like, I don't want to serve up things that make the audience mad.
I can hear all the email coming in already.
Yeah, no, I actually, honestly, sometimes I can hear things in my own headphones that either I'm saying or someone else is saying, and I'm thinking, oh, that's going to not go over well. That's not going to go over well. And it's like, it doesn't even matter how real it is or it isn't. That's how bad it's become. And,
oh, that's sad. And that's honestly, that's hashtag sad.
It may be sad, but it's real. And it reminded me of, and I was thinking, God, this all feels very familiar to me. And I realized that I thought it was similar to when the NFL keeps telling you that you have to support their kneeling because it's not about the national anthem and it's about police. And if you don't support it, then you support police doing racist things to people. And it's like, no, you can't tell people what they think or what they have to think because they're your customers. And I feel the same way about our audience. Our audience are our customers. And I don't want them having to hear shit they don't want to hear all the time because I think it's right or because someone thinks it's right because it doesn't do us any good. It's like, I'd rather change the subject. But unfortunately, in this day and age, particularly this year, between COVID and politics, which sucks everything into its vortex, it's like there's not that much left. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I went out of my way to what yesterday was about. The 35 songs the last 35 years, you know, whether it's Rick Beato or all these off-topic things that you know, essentially chew up scenery, and they're good topics. They're fun topics to talk about, and usually the audience goes, hey, I really like that show, because it's nothing about this shit.
Well, there's a lot of good things we haven't gotten to, like Tony La Russa.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oops. Or haven't even talked about, this one pains me that we haven't talked about, that cool preacher with Justin Bieber. And he was banging that really hot chick.
I knew that was happening, too. I could tell.
Did you see
the second?
Oh, sorry, Brandon. Go ahead.
The second that Bieber had this this pastor, this guru who was helping him, and I took one look at him, and I go, that guy is totally nailing all of the believers. I knew it.
Well, it's
he's enjoying the celebrity. And
I don't know, Drew, when he met this chick, he would only give her his first name. And he claimed he was a sports agent, and that's why he couldn't let her know.
He's a piece of shit.
Yeah, you should read that the interview with her. I think that's from the Daily News.
Wow, she's hot.
She's really hot.
Extremely hot.
And he's pretty cool.
And she's and she's smoking a joint in this picture.
I know. And she's also a Muslim.
Look at this chick.
I know. She's smoking hot.
How this fucking guy, because he's Justin Bieber's personal pastor, is getting all this ass? Because
he's got great style, and he wears cool clothes, and he knows celebrities.
You know, I got to tell you, I'm like you, Brandon. I saw this guy, and I was like, what is this bullshit? You know, this is not what we expect our religious leaders to do, to be cool. And that doesn't mean they can't look good or they can't be stylish, but is that really, should that be the first thing you think about them as?
No, right.
I don't think so.
Who's Justice Bieber?
I hate televangelism. I hate the idea that these people who are, you know, preaching to us and trying to help us, and they have to have private jets, and they have to have three private jets, and they have to live in multi-million-dollar homes, and they can give their wives Lamborghinis and surprise them on the internet, and nobody, you know, nobody's allowed to think, hey, that's kind of bullshit, isn't that? That money has nothing to do with the church.
Of course.
Yeah, I just make $230,000 on my side job to surprise my wife with a brand new Lamborghini.
And if I flew commercial, I'd have to stop 65% of what I'm doing.
Good. Stop 65%.
And, you know,
he made that airplane so cheap for me, I couldn't help but buy it.
Fuck you. You are such an asshole. That was so annoying.
Do you have that whole clip, Brandon? I don't have it on mine.
What a dick.
I have a lot of natural gas on our property.
Ha, ha, ha.
No, the wrong one.
What an asshole. I feel like he just didn't write a long enough sermon.
I mean, I actually saw the context.
What do you mean?
So he's doing this sermon where he's actually talking about how laughing can help you, even if it's something that you're not truly laughing at, even if you're just fake laughing, because it helps some endorphins in your mind, and there's been studies. And so he's talking about that, and he's giving examples, and that was one of his examples, and he went into that big ha 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 ha.
Sounds like you're a follower.
It is taken slightly out of context, but
wow, he sounds like you're a good follower there.
Yeah, you're gonna be riding on that plane soon.
Brent's trying to warm up a seat on the plane.
Ha ha ha!
You're gonna be into KCM in no time.
Well, this Justin Bieber's personal pastor, Carl Lentz. First of all, you know, we're now going to learn a lot more about what an asshole he is.
Yeah.
And he's a huge asshole. And what happened was he suddenly was sort of out of the mix at this Hillside Church. And he's like, oh, what's going on there? Oh, well, he was untruthful with his wife, and he violated his marital vows. And, okay, so I get what's going on there. He's banging hot chicks all over the place, probably Bieber's crumbs, you know, and so on and so forth. And it really pisses me off because this guy, because he's so cool, of course, this church makes shit tons of money, and all these celebrities go to it. You know, Chris Pratt and Katherine Schwarzenegger and, you know, I don't know. Did you see the list of celebrities that go there?
Jay-Z, there's a picture with him and Jay-Z.
Yeah, no, yeah. He's like a celebrity jock sniffer. I mean, yeah. The celebrities don't wear jocks, but I mean, it's not just athletes. It's like any celebrity. Yeah. And the list of famous people that go to this church is long.
I always felt, though, like he wasn't trying to get their money. He was just trying to be cool with them.
Yeah, he was. But he does spend a lot of money, it turns out, that, a lot of church money does seem to go through his hands at expensive restaurants and expensive hotels and a lot of traveling. Why does this guy have to travel so much?
He doesn't have
to. No, I know. It's total bullshit.
Yeah.
He's living this wild-ass life, and then I start... as I'm digging deeper, you know, I feel I'm falling into a hole. It's like a political story where I'm like, I want to get out of this story, but I can't. I keep digging deeper and deeper. And I'm reading about Hillside Church?
I think so, yeah.
Hillside Church. And that Carl Lentz, Bieber's personal pastor, which is,
pastor, yeah.
And who runs around saying they're someone's personal pastor? Aren't you the pastor to everyone at the church?
When you're that cool. I mean, got those really trendy big glasses.
Yeah,
I bet you, by the way.
Maybe he just handles people with over a million followers.
And look at that picture of him. I bet you anything, those glasses aren't prescription. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll go with you on that. Oh, here he is with Kylie and Kendall Jenner, who also go to the church. Oh, fuck you.
Just read, did I highlight any of that? Just read the highlighted parts. I know you don't want to go down the road.
Well, I wanted to just mention that in digging into the story, I found out that he really sort of merged his church with this other church, which is started by the Houstons. And the Houston guy is also a cool preacher like him. I think his name is Brian Houston. Mm-hmm. He's older. And his father started the church. His father is really the name that has been sort of nudged out of the church. It's like, oh, no, it's these cool younger guys, and they're really cool. And all these celebrities go, well, the father started the church, and the bulk of the church really belongs to the father, except that, it turns out the father molested quite a few members of the church and their adolescents. And so,
what are they? Are they Catholic?
Yeah, well, the Pope got busted today or yesterday for...
Oh, believe me, I know.
I didn't even know what the story is. I just kept seeing headlines.
Yeah.
What he did? Did he promote someone who was...
The guy, just the same old stuff, but cover-ups at an even higher level than what was previously known.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm never surprised by those stories. They always make me mad, but it just seems like they happen over and over because these people, it's not... You know, it's like the old saying, you can see it at Michigan State. You can see it at Michigan. You can see it at Penn State, where people, oh, my God, we can't let anything happen to this institution, so we've got to pretend that everything is okay. And you know, all these people, even, you know, to the point where Harbaugh's saying, I went to Dr. Anderson, and he was a great doctor, and it never, never happened to my family, which is insulting to everyone who was molested by this guy.
The thing with the Catholic Church, though, is that now it sounds like Pope John Paul II knew, and he's so revered.
Yeah.
JP2.
So is he canceled?
Maybe. Maybe. What will really so amaze crazy. Me is if this happens going forward. And you know it will. But how can you cover up?
There's so many suits in so many states, and many of them involve fairly recent things. They don't seem, doesn't seem to end. It's not like there's an end point because it wouldn't keep coming up.
No, I mean like the cover-ups of things, especially in college athletics after Sando and Sandusky, because that was such a big story.
It's
why would you cover anything up after that?
Because it's your school this time. and what's funny to me...
It always comes out.
I know. But it's funny, though, how people so judge each time, and then when it comes around, it happened... wait, there's a problem here? Oh, fuck. We better sit on this or make it go away, because everybody seems to act this way. And this church did, too. They just sort of pushed the dad aside, and the son seems to just suck millions of dollars out of the church, and he lives like a fucking rock star. Yeah. And they have their pastors, you know, not just Carl Lentz, the one that's sort of been set aside for fucking people, fucking really hot chicks outside his marriage. And it's not just him. There's multiple other pastors who they say, hey, our pastors aren't just pastors. They're influencers. They got lots of followers. They're on Twitter. They're on Instagram. And, you know, and they had, I can't remember who this guy's name is, but he's one of the pastors. I mean, this is a big church. And he's like, you know, 30 years old or something. And he's taking these hot pictures on Instagram. Like, what?
Hallelujah.
Wait, what is this? This is disgusting is what it is. This isn't a fucking church. This is people getting off on themselves going, you know, I can't really rise to the top of the music industry, the sports industry, so I'll be the cool pastor, and I'll have lots of money, and I can be just as hot, and chicks will dig me just as much.
And be the cool pastor that is, you know, handing out food or helping the homeless.
That's not fun. It's more fun to be an influencer, isn't it? I mean, seriously, I don't even know. This guy, when this whole Bieber story came out, and he and Bieber are traveling around in private jets together, and I have to help him at this concert so he can perform well. We have to pray together. And afterwards, they're hanging out with these super hot chicks.
What a fool Bieber is. I hope he slips back into his drug habit. What if this is the catalyst for Bieber slipping?
You know, I have to admit, I really appreciate what Bieber has come out with lately. That, you know, I was a fucked up guy, and I was being a complete asshole. And
it's weird
to
see him cry in public.
Yeah, it was.
But no, I can appreciate.
He felt
that.
A little
Everyone
too guilty.
Makes mistakes. Yeah,
he really did. He felt
Bieber,
too
you're
bad.
Too guilty for me.
So, oh Jesus, this. I'm gonna read the story when we get done.
Yeah, it is 9:15, by the way.
It's 9:15.
Yeah, we're only 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Oh my God. All right.
And I have to post the outro. Bell.
Hit the outro.
Oh, really? I didn't mean to kill it like that. I mean, there's so
no,
many
other, I seriously
so many other
no
great
idea.
Things like Sinead O'Connor going to rehab for trauma.
No, there's like 16 things in front of me that I didn't even get to.
Well, good. Tomorrow's show's done then.
Yeah.
Right?
No, there'll be new things tomorrow.
Hopefully all politics.
Yeah. I know. I love that stuff. Cam Gibson sent me a text.
Oh, did he pick his walk-up song? Did he like all the suggestions?
He just said he got a kick out of it. I touched myself.
Well, I think we have a winner then.
Yeah, hopefully. Oh, I didn't mention
what
Dave from the butchery came in today.
Yes,
yeah. With the biggest pile of food I've ever seen in my life.
That refrigerator upstairs has never been more full than
it's
is.
It's so
right now.
Stacked with the best meat. And where's the butchery located?
Sylvan Lake, the butchery, if you go online, I think it's thebutcherysl.com.
Do you have the phone number?
I will get it for you. It ends in cows.
It does?
Yeah.
Well.
248-682-2697.
Yeah. Thebutcherysl.com. They will be coming on as an advertiser, too.
Yeah, they're going to be providing Brandon's dinner, among other things.
Yeah, my God, the amount of food. There's so much food. I told Brandon that Kristen and him should get in the car tonight and drive down here and take some of it.
I'm telling you, you should. And if not, you should call the butchery or contact the butchery or go by the butchery. What's the address there near Cass Lake Road?
You know where it is? It's right by the lodge.
The Killer Cares thing, right?
Yeah. It's right by the lodge on Orchard Lake there. It's a really...